exactly what they're going to say each and every day. They get their talking points, and they do a good job of doing what it is they're required to do by the RNC. The RNC, just like the DNC, puts out talking points every day, although I must say the RNC is a whole lot better at it than we are.
They certainly are.
And they've decided that one of the issues is going to be is they're going to damn the Democrats as the hatred party.
Yeah, that's a shocker, huh?
Full of hate with no issues. Hate, hate, hate. They say the word Democrat and hate together constantly, kind of like Bush did with Iraq and Osama,
Osama.
Yeah. Same way. And if you've noticed, the main topic of conversation on Republic-dominated airways, they're all reading from the same page. It's the RNC's daily talking points. The Democrats are operating on hate. That's their message, and man, are they ever laying it on thick. We have no issues, only hate. Well, it's a fact that that message was formulated and approved by the powers that be at the RNC. I get their morning talking points, too, and I can tell you exactly what these rabid dog radical right-wingers are going to say every day before they start their shows. And I got to tell you, they're saying it in unison, and they're hammering away at that word hate, 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 Democrats, hate. Well, I don't want to hear it, and I won't have it. And I tell you, it's got me upset. Hate, hate. Name me a Democrat who's as hateful as Tom DeLay. Name me a Democrat who is hateful as good old Bob Dornan. Name me a liberal who's bombed a women's clinic. Name me one. Name me a liberal who's dragged a black man to his death behind a pickup truck. Name me a Democratic radio host who's called Mr. Bush's daughters dogs. Name me one. Name me a liberal media person who's spoken the most vile accusations against Max Cleland, who lost three limbs in Vietnam. Name me a radio host that's been that nasty. Name me a liberal who shot and killed a doctor because he didn't agree with that doctor's medical practices. Name me a liberal who has claimed he would impeach a Republican president even before the guy took office. Name me a gang of Democrats who spent $70 million on an investigation and turned up nothing but lies about sex. Name me a liberal on the radio as mean and nasty as old pillhead Limbaugh. Name me a liberal who intentionally outed a CIA agent just for spite and retribution. Name me a liberal who has done despicable political deeds like those done against Mike Dukakis with the Willie Horton deal. Or how about name me a liberal who's perpetrated political dirty tricks such as those that they used against their own, John McCain in South Carolina. Yeah, you know, he's a war hero. They claimed him to be mentally unstable because he'd been a POW, or his wife was clinically insane, or he secretly had illegitimate black children. Name me a liberal who's done that. You know, I could go on and on and on, but I think you get the message by now. Hate from Democrats? Democrats, the party of hatred? You know, in most ways, I think we're a superior party to the Republicans, but when it comes to hate, we're a bunch of amateurs compared to the good old GOP. They wrote the book on hate. They've been practicing it for many years now, and we've got a long ways to go if we're going to catch up. Democrats, the party of hate. Hey, look in the mirror, all my conservative friends. That's my opinion. You can call us, you know, at 1-888-602-7500, 888-602-7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We'd be glad to have you call us on those numbers. And, let's see, we have a local number as well. If you want to call us locally here, it's 239-479-5540. 479-5540 with that 239 area code. So you're welcome to call us, and I hope you do. We can't have a good show without your calls, that's for certain. Well, a lot going on this week, Mike. What do you think? Are they going to tar and feather Senator Kerry with this accusation of theirs? It looked like it kind of blew up in their faces.
That's kind of funny. I mean, they jumped all over it, and even the liberal media jumped on that one, didn't they? They took the bait, and they ran with it, and then found out it's not really worthwhile.
Limbaugh's been pounding at home every day. He's still, even after the denials and everything else, Limbaugh's still preaching it every
pounding
day.
Pounding down pills or pounding on the message? I don't know. What are you talking about?
The old OxyContin kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to talk about that a little later. I got a heartfelt letter from somebody who uses OxyContin. and has been listening to Mr. Limbaugh and has got something interesting to say about it.
Really?
And we'll talk about that a little later on in the program. But the political wars are heating up. Seems that Mr. Bush is ready to, well, he's ready to go now. He's ready to get that money, get that checkbook out, and go for it.
It's only $250 million.
That's all. You know, I want to caution all of you. I go out and speak to Democratic folks, and I've been cautioning everybody lately. You better act like we're the underdogs here. I know we're ahead in the polls right now, but they've yet to unleash that money.
Yeah, they've yet to do it, and I'm beginning to think some Democrats haven't even realized that the nation state's under attack, and basically the modern nation state. I mean, they don't seem to understand yet that everything that's been fought for the last, 70 years is at stake.
It is. Probably the most important election since the election of Abraham, most eventful election since Abraham Lincoln got elected, I'm sure. And maybe ever, because I do think the future of our nation is at stake with this one. It depends whether you want the corporatism to take over in this country and run it from now on. And let me warn you about one thing. Once Big Brother and corporatism does take over this country, there's not going to be any taking it back. You understand that, don't you? Because they'll own everything. They'll own the military. They'll own the ability to put down any problem with anybody once they take over. So when you see that happening, you better fight like hell against it. And you think that's extreme? I know some of you do.
I don't.
I don't think it's extreme. And we have every reason to believe that Mr. Bush and his group are beholden to these people and have done nakedly, right out in the open, anything it takes to pay off his campaign contributors and the people that put him in office. He's been, I'll have to say, he's been right up front about it.
They have been very successful and been very open about what they're doing. But, you know, they throw out these things, these little cutesy words like no child left behind and then cut budgets. And so, I mean, they're open about some things. They're very sneaky about others. And they're very good, though. I mean, media-wise, they've got the media just, you know, spinning them by their tail.
Bob Kerry, who's on the commission, the 9/11 commission, Bob Kerry's talking about the old bait and switch they're using on that already. Yes, I'll testify, says Mr. Bush, and then once he's off of TV, he says, well, you know, maybe not.
We'll reconsider that.
No child left behind, hey, look at me, and behind the scenes to Ted Kennedy, hey, funding it? That's your problem, pal.
I always thought the Republicans were against unfunded mandates. Remember, year after year, they kept hammering away at that.
Well, maybe we're not being fair here. Maybe the maybe the Republicans still are against unfunded mandates, but not this group that's in the White House. They're, as I've said many times, I don't think they're real Republicans. They're some sort of imposters. We got somebody on the line right now. We've got Dick in Naples. Dick, welcome to the program.
Oh, we're not here.
Are you there, Dick?
Hello?
I guess. Are you there, Dick?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Speak up.
Okay, I'm in a cell phone. I'm on my cell phone. Can you hear me now, guys?
Yes, we can.
Okay. You know, you open your show by talking about hate. And I don't know if I've ever listened to a person on the right that's been any more hateful than this Rush Limbaugh. And the way he castigizes people and the things he says about people, if you recall during the Willie Kennedy Smith ordeal, how he hammered Willie Kennedy Smith's attorney day in, day out for supporting a liberal such as Kennedy. And I think now we know who his attorney is.
Yes, we all do.
That attorney was the one and only Roy Black.
No irony there, huh?
And then, of course, we got the ACLU and how this, you know, he's bashed them for the last 15 years of his career. And all on his defense this week, and you don't hear anything. You know, he's not bashing the ACLU anymore. And it's just that the hypocrisy on the right and these talk shows, and you got this new kid on the block, Sean Hannity, and then, of course, we got this other phony who beats up Democrats all day long. He calls himself a conservative, and that's Bill O'Reilly. If you get any further to the right, he'd make Rush Limbaugh look like a Boy Scout. It's just the hypocrisy of the right. And, boy, you certainly pointed out some issues early in your monologue on just what the Republican Party is all about, and they are all about hate. It's just amazing on how they just don't seem to care for other people, and And as you said, talk about hypocrisy. I had the opportunity of watching the president when he was talking to Tim Russert, and how he said, "Yeah, I'll cooperate. I'll speak before the commission." And now all of a sudden, I read early in the week. I think it was in the New York Times. I read three papers a day. When he was quoted as saying, "There's no need in him testifying," and it's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, they've done that time and again.
Well, I'll tell you, just I got one other point, Guy, and then I have to leave, and I'll listen to you. I'm at work now. The other comment I wanted to make was in reference to our candidate. I think we all can agree that it's going to be John Kerry. Now, this is really upsetting the Rush Limbaughs of the world and the Sean Hannitys, because they thought they had a real good shot if Howard Dean was to be the nominee. They beat him up. They'd been all over him, and this guy would have got reelected. And now, of course, they want to try to hammer Kerry because they're more fearful of him than they are the other fella.
Edwards.
The senator, John.
John Edwards.
John Edwards. His name slipped my mind here for a moment. They'd love to have him because he's a freshman senator. He's only been in, you know, his first term in office, first term senator, and they'd love to have him as.
I wouldn't sell him short, though. I mean, the guy.
I hope that he's the VP. He'd be my choice if I was John Kerry. If John Kerry gets the nomination, I would hope he'd pick him up. And at that point, all we need to do is win one or two southern states, and then we've got the election.
Oh, totally. No, I agree with that. I think, unfortunately, hasn't the trend been over the last few years of the likely presidential candidate, once they go through the nomination and get the nomination, haven't they been going outside of their competitors over the last few terms?
Yeah, they have.
And I haven't seen that. I'm trying to recall a recent competitor as VP, and I haven't seen that.
I hope we don't get a big shock from the vice presidential nomination. You know,
now,
I,
what would you be referring to?
Well, like the time Nixon had nominated Spiro Agnew, I remember my dad looking to me. You know, we heard the announcement. And my dad looked at me and said, "What the hell is a Spiro Agnew?" but you just never know who's going to get that. And there's, make no mistake about it, if there are any smoke-filled rooms left, there are people in them right now trying to decide about this VP.
Oh, of course, because I mean, even if this nominee loses, which honestly, I think it's kind of a toss-up at this point, even with the $250 million and the control over the media. I think there's a good chance of going in. But if they lose, that VP candidate has a pretty good shot of being the candidate next time around. So, I mean, that's a pretty good, especially on the losing end, that's a pretty good position to be in. So.
Absolutely. Hey, Dick, thanks so much for your call.
Well, thanks, Guy, and I'll talk to you again next week.
Great to have you with us. We got Andy in Seattle. Andy,
hey,
welcome
guys
to the show.
How you doing?
Glad to hear from you, Andy.
It's been a long time since I called in.
Yes, it is.
I'm busy with my campaign. You know, the one thing that we keep neglecting to mention, though, in all of this is the black box voting problem, and it's getting worse every day. You know, Ohio just bought 18 counties, bought Diebold equipment.
Yep.
So I guess Walden O'Dell is going to make good on his promise. They're going to make hay with this issue.
Well, what amazes me is that Republicans, who I thought were, you know, all for the sanctity of the ballot and the vote, they don't seem that concerned with all this. I wonder why.
Well, you know, again, it's nonpartisan because both Democrats and Republicans have manipulated the elections. And I mean, this, me out campaigning, I'm finding that there's a broad consensus among Republicans and Democrats. It's absolutely a uniting issue. I've taken Republicans who were fighting their point about, you know, who knows what, to sitting and listening about how their vote is being attacked. It's a great and uniting issue.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, what's funny is, though, I mean, our candidates during our primary, there's only been a couple that have really brought up the issue in a strong way, and that kind of fell off the radar screen. So, I mean, I'm wondering if you're finding that that's a uniting issue. I would think your more moderate Republicans wouldn't want anybody to not be able to count on their vote. I mean, that's just, if you don't have that, you don't have a democracy. I mean, it's as simple as that, and then we can start playing different games.
I've had a Republican senator, a state senator here, tell me privately that she was going to cross the line and vote for me because of the stance that I've taken as far as the paper ballot is concerned.
Really? That's great to hear.
Doesn't anybody think it's strange that that's not being brought up publicly by any Republicans at all? I mean,
well,
you know, how can it be that that's 100% Democratic issue in public?
Yeah, it makes no sense, because you'd think it'd be just a civil rights issue. It would be an American issue. It wouldn't be a Democratic or Republican issue. But because they're confident that's going to work their way. Okay, let's just say it. They're confident that when it's close, they know which way those paperless trails are going to go. I mean,
yeah,
that's my guess.
I hear you. But, you know, there is movement. Although, you know, I have a lawsuit pending right now against the current Secretary of State for certifying software contrary to state law.
Mm-hmm.
He was served yesterday with the papers. So I'm preemptively striking because, you know, I already know, you know, here in King County where I live, you know, we have huge problems. We're the poster child for what's wrong with elections in the U.S. So...
Well, you probably got a battle on your hands from Palm Beach County, Florida, for that.
We do pretty good here in Florida sometimes.
Yeah, and Volusia County is another good one down there. So.
Oh, what was Volusia, Volusia County, that was something like in 2000, that didn't get a lot of press, but they had something like a 3 or 4%, or maybe it was a 6 or 7 or 8% bad tally coming out of their electronic machines that they had there.
Well,
they weren't computerized machines, but they were scanner machines that were set with a tolerance that would allow no... It was just spitting, especially in black areas. Okay, I mean that's what it was all about.
So, Andy, how's your campaign looking? We should tell everybody Andy's out in Seattle, Washington, and he's got his own political campaign going.
It's actually going pretty darn well. I've met some pretty important allies, and you know, I'm just like I said, I'm going out everywhere educating people on this issue. They get it, and it is. Republicans or Democrats, they all understand the importance of our vote being totaled correctly, you know, counted as cast. You know, our ballot is our contract with our government, and I want a contract on paper, not vapor.
Right. Andy, thanks so much for your call. Okay. Everybody out in Washington, you be sure and vote for Andy.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Secretary of State out there. We're going to pause for a break right now. I want everybody to know you're listening to The Guy James Show, and we'll be back right after these words.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
My husband and I, we met at a
strip mall
dance. He was 20, I was 17. It was a beautiful old
strip mall
built by my grandfather after he'd emigrated from Holland to be a farmer. Anyway, when I saw my husband at that dance, I realized I'd seen him before at a big rally at the
highway on-ramp
for all the men who'd enlisted. He was going to war. 2 weeks later, he left for basic training. Oh, I cried my eyes out that day. His train left the
car dealership.
But we rode to each other every day. I rode my bike the 10 miles to the
high rise
each morning, just so I could meet the mail when it got there. 4 years later, he came home to me, and we married at the little
convenience store
downtown.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222.
For poison emergencies or just questions, the Poison Control Center hotline is here 24/7 with the expert help you need.
If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
A message from your Poison Control Center.
His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years, not such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, nearly half for unknown reasons. Please support March of Dimes research. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Well, I'll tell you, it just doesn't pay for a guy like me to try and be a techno wizard.
It really doesn't. It was a game effort.
We We I hate to burden my tech people around here with audio stuff. I'm always finding audio that I want to play during the show, and kind of like the big boys do. And I get this audio on, and I always email it to the station, and they download it into the machine, and then they're able to play it. And it's hard because it's hard on them to have to do that, and it's hard to have it queued up and ready to go when I want it. And sometimes we get carried away and get to talking, and then we don't do it when we're supposed to do it. So I got the bright idea this week, and I got this fancy schmancy new laptop, and I thought, gee whiz, why can't I download all these bits on there, and I can just hit them, play them at will.
Boy, that would be convenient, wouldn't it,
though?
Yeah.
And so I decided, with some help from somebody else, that we'd run it into a mic outlet in here from the laptop, and could just play them whenever I wanted to. However,
it didn't work.
It didn't work. No. And I tell you, I'm like a little kid that didn't get anything for Christmas.
Don't break it. Just don't break it.
I tell you. Hey, we got Lori in Pennsylvania with us right now. Lori, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. Hi, Mike. How are you doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to talk about George Bush's new manufacturing jobs that he's going to come out with.
Oh, yeah.
Making what? Or in China or where?
Oh, no, the hamburgers.
Oh, that's right.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, okay.
And I was just wondering, with all these millions of fast food jobs that's going to be manufacturing jobs here in a little while.
Can they do that? Can they reclassify something as a manufacturing job just willy-nilly like that?
I don't know. But it's just so odd that they're even thinking about doing it.
Well, I don't think you're being fair, Lori. I really don't. The White House said fast food jobs should be considered service sector work because it actually is combining, to quote them, combining inputs to manufacture a product. So they're manufacturing Big Macs. Now I want you people to think about this for a minute. This is how stupid and how low these people have sunk.
Exactly. It's like, let's say you're in sales. Well, you're producing and manufacturing your voice that goes to someone else. So it's all manufacturing in their eyes.
Well, I was wondering, since these are new manufacturing jobs, will all the fast food workers now be eligible for health care benefits and the union dues and everything else that goes along with manufacturing?
Well, they'll have to join the AFL-CIO and get involved with the UAW or the United Steelworkers or one of those, most certainly.
Of course, SEIU.
And of course, we know McDonald's would not have any objection to that.
Of course they wouldn't.
No. And same thing at Walmart. The people in there serving at the canteens and stuff, they're manufacturing sandwiches as well.
Yeah.
And of course, they'll be in the AFL-CIO.
You know what this argument reminds me of? The other day on Democratic Underground, somebody was arguing, and this mind-boggling, that Walmart's not at fault for the things that it does in regards to, you know, bad benefits and low wages and driving down wages, and actually is less at fault than, let's say, Ben and Jerry's, which doesn't go out and hire more people at higher wages. It was like I had a hard time arguing with it because it was like, okay, we're in upside down world now. How do I respond to that? Can we say asinine?
We can say that.
It's asinine.
Yeah.
I stopped shopping at Walmart the other week when I heard they were piping in Fox News as their official headline news source.
Exactly, headline news. And somebody else said, oh, well, they've got oxygen playing, things like that. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is they're going to pump in Fox headline news, and it will be their only news source. I mean, they have other sources, but that's mostly entertainment trying to sell junk.
Yeah.
Another bad argument that you'll hear time and time again, I'm sure.
Yeah. Before I get off the line, I just wanted to tell everybody listening to please donate to the Guy James Show. I did it last night, and I'm from Pennsylvania, and this is the only liberal thing I get to listen to every week, with the exception of Mike Malloy on some nights, and he's getting canceled here soon. But I just want to tell Guy, thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you very much. And we will remind everybody right now that we are a listener-supported show, and if you'd like to help support the Guy James Show, go to www.theguyjamesshow.com and throw a few nickels into the drum there. That'll help us keep this show going. Thank you, Lori.
All right.
We've got Diane in Fort Myers. Diane, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. I'm more interested in how much it cost us taxpayers for Georgie Boy to fly down and get to see the races.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a campaign trip.
He flies down there to look at big corporate advertised cars go around a track. Meanwhile, he's waving at the very people that he's trying to do them out of their overtime pay.
Oh, yeah.
And lower their wages. And they're cheering him like fools when he's the one trying to do them out of their wages.
And why is that?
It's insane.
Why do you think that is?
Because people are not informed. The media has kept people dumb in this country.
Exactly. And that liberal media.
That liberal media that calls
John Kerry a Massachusetts liberal
and doesn't call
Trent Lott a Confederate conservative or a Mississippi conservative. They only use those little keywords on Democratic politicians.
Well,
now, why the hell is that?
Racist too, but I couldn't afford it. But he gets to go on my nickel. You know, and people need to think about that. And it's same with the military guys. They're cheering him when Kellogg Brown and Root have their fancy towels over there in Iraq, but they don't have their Kevlar gear to wear to protect themselves.
Yeah.
You know, there's their priorities. And then, they cheer this guy. You know, America's got to wake up and think. Start using their brain.
Well, we can hope.
All right, take care.
We can only
Thanks
hope.
For
Thank you for your call,
call,
Diane. Yeah, it amazes me. You know, somebody called last week and was talking about that issue about. And so, oh, by the way, somebody sent me a email this week suggesting that the letter we read from the soldier last week was phony.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'll read the letter a little later on, and just probably to let this cat out of the bag on it, said that all the soldiers, all, I love that word, all,
uh-huh.
all of them over there are happy and and proud to be doing their duty.
Well, you know, some of them, I proud to do their duty, I can understand
Certainly.
That. Certainly. I mean, they did sign up for it. They are in the U.S. military, and I can respect that, but happy to be there, I think that's a little ridiculous.
I think it is as well. Very, very, it's tough duty, let's face it. It's real tough duty, and it won't be long till the hot weather will be coming back again, and they've suffered pretty
Bring them home.
There. What do you think about, as long as we're talking about jobs here in the You know, it's just hard for me to believe that they actually said that, but they did, about manufacturing. Yeah.
But you know what? If Clinton were to have said something so ridiculous, he would have been hammered day and night on CNN, that liberal cable news channel, on ABC, CBS.
I would have hammered him.
Well, yeah, because it's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, it's disingenuous. It's lying. Okay?
You know, folks, here's the thing. You listen to this program, and you know we beat on Bush quite a bit on this program. But I've said some things about Bill Clinton, too. When Bill Clinton did some things that are wrong and...
NAFTA.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
And we've said that all along. But do you listen to any of the right-wing shows and have them disagree in a big way with what this guy's doing?
They don't disagree with Reagan. They don't disagree with Bush 1. They don't disagree with any of them. They are incapable of being critical of their own people.
Oh, local talk show host right here in this county who... very definitely is to the right. There's no question of it. He's to the right.
No, he's a libertarian that reads Ayn Rand.
I like the guy a lot, but he's definitely from the right, conservative to the core. And he made the mistake of saying something a week or two ago about last week, I guess it was, saying something about Bush and I don't know. He questioned something.
Oh, integrity?
Oh man, he got calls. People telling me, "Hope he got brain tumors and died."
Really?
Oh yeah,
Mike. You know, I almost feel sorry for him. Nah.
Yeah. Well, that's how bad they are, though. That's how bad they are. We got Jim in Fort Myers. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, guy. First I want to say I kind of ran across your show by mistake last week, and I kind of like it. I got to tell you, I'm a lifelong Republican. I voted Republican all my life, but I've started to become a little disfranchised with the Republican Party, and I think the McDonald's thing was so stupid, that's the thing that broke the camel's back.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is, and it's a lot of my friends are starting to feel the same way about the Republican Party. I mean, it's just getting more and more stupid, not making any sense. Last election, a lot of us voted along the party line.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I mean, you know, I don't think...
The reason why, not to interrupt you, but the reason why is neither one of the candidates really excited anybody. And I don't know, and then you had the Independent Party, you know, you got idiots like Ross Perot out there making everybody look stupid. And but the manufacturing thing is the one that killed me. I don't know how they can figure that out.
How are you going to support yourself, and how are millions upon millions of people going to feed their families, buy homes, provide a good schools for their kids, when we're turning in basically into a feudalist system? And I don't think the Republicans had ever really, I mean, the traditional ones, my grandparents, for instance, they didn't want America to turn into a neo-feudalist system with a few very rich people and everyone else groveling around for crumbs.
Right.
That's not right. And they think, and for some reason, a lot of Republicans haven't realized that are lifelong Republicans, like yourself, that somehow this is the status quo Republican presidency, and it's not. And it's going to be trouble for everyone.
Well,
it's scary.
As a younger man, before I got married and had a family, the Republican Party was just so cool, you know, because it started with Reagan. That they're going to take my guns away. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. I'm like, oh, man, you know, I don't want that. But now that I've got a family and I've got a mortgage, and I'm looking, I'm like, what in the world was I thinking? Come on, guys. This is... And it seems like the Republican Party just ain't putting anybody exciting out there. You got the local race here where Andy Coy and this Barry Futch. I mean, come on, what in the world has Andy Coy done?
How? He's a Republican, though.
You know? You got Barry Futch, whose education is a Baptist preacher. I mean, does Jerry Falwell ring a bell?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, here's a question for you. How do you feel about the rise of the religious right in the Republican Party?
I think it's going overboard. It's
scary, don't you think? I mean,
it's on one hand they're saying, you know, church and state shouldn't mix, but then they get right in the mix. I mean, you got jackasses like Barry Futch, who's a Baptist preacher by education. You got like Jerry Falwell, who's a complete embarrassment to the Republican Party, and then you got John Kerry, you know. He's a little too liberal for me. He's aligned with Ted Kennedy, but John Edwards, if he got the nomination, I would actually cross party lines to vote for him today.
People like Edwards, and Republicans like Edwards, and I think maybe, how about with him on the ticket as VP?
I don't know. Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Edwards would be more partisan. He seems to be more partisan, and that's really what you need right now. They need, and it's not going to happen ever. I mean, that's...
You mean nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Well, I tell you, Jim, for calling us and admitting that you would cross over, if we had a free pizza, we'd give it to you.
Because I'm starting to look at health care. I mean...
You're being critical, though. I mean, that's a good thing. That's a good start.
The thing is, Jim, you're doing the right thing. And don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying you're doing the right thing because you're going to vote Democrat instead of Republican.
Well,
I didn't say you were going to, but at least you're
an open mind.
You're thinking. You're doing the right thing. You're checking things out. You're digging a little bit and finding out what it is. You're not just listening to somebody like us or somebody like Limbaugh or some sound bites.
I listen to Limbaugh and I listen to you guys and I don't agree with everything y'all say, but you don't twist my colon. I keep an open mind, you know, and I listen to both sides, and then I make my own mind up.
Jim, you're the first person that's ever called here and said you didn't agree with everything we said.
Thank you.
I mean, but there's no need to get nasty about it when these guys call you. I mean, that's your right, and that's your opinion, and I think people ought to just listen to both sides instead of getting all twisted up. Listen to both sides and make up your own mind.
Just find out the facts. That's the facts. And don't depend on talk radio for your news. Listen to what they have to say, and then be curious enough to go check it out. And there's plenty of ways to do that right now.
That sure is.
Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Good talking to you.
Appreciate that.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, it's good to have our Republican conservative friends call in. We like to hear from you. You can call us, by the way, at 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, or 04. And locally here, you can call us at 239-479-5540.
That's also for the Ferners listening on the Internet.
Yes, you can call Canadian guys.
Yeah, Canadian guys, yeah.
We say that because we have many Canadian friends on the Democratic Underground website. And by the way, check out if you're local. I met some great people at a Democratic Club meeting I spoke at Monday night. They were from Michigan.
Really?
And they just happened to find the show by mistake last week, and they were talking to me about websites that they loved. And they love Buzz Flash, and they didn't. I noticed they didn't mention Democratic Underground, and so I steered them to that. You can't not go and read Democratic Underground.
No, I think, you know, for a lot of people, they go to the website and look at the articles at the main site. Go into the forums and actually the discussion forums.
Sure.
And it's a big. That's a lot of different flavors of liberalism or progressivism in that site, and I appreciate that.
With a few righties,
for
good measure.
And I try to flush them out, but they don't always. They always bite. So.
Hey, we've got Bob in Punta Gorda. Bob, welcome to the program.
How are you, guy?
Good.
Good. Listen, I grew up more of a Democrat, and then as I got older, I realized the mortgage scenario with family, and I switch my thinking to more like Republican, and I liked your show today because it just brought up something and stands out like a sore thumb. It's our problem is not Democrat or Republican in this country. Our problem is both Republican and Democrat, because the government is bringing us NAFTA. The Republicans might have nurtured it and brought it along, but Clinton signed it, so he's part of it, and the Democrats are part of it, and they voted for it.
They both did, yeah, you're right.
They both did, and they're hurting us all. They're hurting the little guy. They're hurting the... You know, my feelings are the country belongs to the people, but the government...
Hey, stop that. You're going to sound like a socialist. Stop that.
No, but the government individuals that are in government, they think the country belongs to the government.
No, it belongs to the rich, okay? I mean, that's the long and short of it. I mean, everybody says don't bring up class warfare, but the fact of the matter is 98% of the people in America are not millionaires. The fact is most people have to worry about paying their bills. Most people have to worry about getting health care. Most people have to worry about their parents when they get older. And the fact of the matter is we either share in the responsibility for a sane society and a caring society, or basically we turn into a neo-feudalist system and it's dog-eat-dog.
I think you're right, but I also think we've lost the government because the lobbyists now and big business run our country.
Hey, but you know what? K Street's been flushed out of the Democratic lobbyists. You know that, right? Since Bush came in, there are no Democratic lobbyists left companies on that. At least that's something I read. Look it up. I mean,
right.
it's bizarre.
What would they do?
They purged it.
Yeah, I mean, what would Democratic lobbyists be doing right now?
Yeah, no joke. What would they be doing? The House, the Senate, the judiciary, the presidency? What are they going to do? Yeah, sit around and eat burgers, I guess, and help the manufacturing industry.
Yeah, well, it's sad, but I think our problems are both the Republicans, and they love it when you and I go nose to nose about I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican, and then we start arguing that those issues back and forth. And all those people up in Washington just love it. They think this we're too busy worried about whether a Democrat or a Republican instead of looking at the big picture. The big picture is we're losing our country. We're losing our infrastructure. We're losing our manufacturing base. We're losing our jobs. And they say it's good, and I can't buy it.
That's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It's mind-boggling, and I see our country going down the tubes. It seems this globalization means America has to ratchet itself down to other third world countries. Now that's rapidly what we're becoming.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with a system that brings up the standard of living in other countries. But the problem with this globalization, the way it's happening right now, with things like the FTAA and NAFTA and WTO and all these different treaties or multinational treaties, is it's not improving the standard of living in those countries. No, they don't have environmental laws. They don't have labor laws. They got people working for pennies. And how much does a Nike shoe cost in Vietnam or China to make something like a dollar? And they were shocked when they found out they're sold for $150 in America. And it's like, wait a second, don't you have some value? When you work for something, you put your blood and sweat into it. Why don't you have a part of that value?
Mm-hmm.
You created it.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, thanks so much for your call. We do appreciate it.
Okay.
Keep listening.
Bye-bye. All right.
We've got Johnny in Toronto, one of those friendly Canadians we were talking about. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's good to be with you again.
Well, it's good to have you on.
I just wanted to bring up, I don't know if you've seen this on democraticunderground.com, but there was another article form, there's an interesting article called The Despoiling of America. Did you happen to see that by any chance?
I think I glanced at it, but why don't you tell us a little about it?
Oh, it's really very, very interesting. It explains how the Bush administration, the people behind the Bush administration are using the right-wing religious fundamentalists and as a tool, more or less, in their quest to maintain control and get further control of the United States and indeed of the world through this neocon philosophy. But as you know, I'm sure you're familiar down there in Florida, that the most or very many of the religious fundamentalist type almost look on Bush as a being anointed by God, the president that God sent to guide America in this troubled time, you know, that type of attitude.
He'll tell you that himself.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, too. But what this article brings out is how the neoconservatives are basing their actions and the philosophy or the teachings of a philosopher called Leo Strauss.
He's a winner, isn't he? Do you have any quotes of Leo there?
Right. And of course, he taught some of these neocons personally, like Wolfowitz, I believe, was one of his students, or he taught teachers who taught other members of this neocon group within the right-wing Republican Party. And his whole idea was, Strauss, was that basically Machiavelli had it right, and the end justifies the means. And he saw religion as a means of controlling society, of preventing people from getting a little bit too uppity with themselves, asking for too many rights or expecting too many freedoms. If you'd like, I could just read off like one paragraph. Gives about five points of Strauss's philosophy. The author of this article, Despoiling America, says, I'm indebted to Shadia Drury's book, Leo Strauss and the American Right, and published interviews for the following. First, Strauss believed that a leader had to perpetually deceive the citizens he rules. Secondly, those who lead must understand there's no morality. There's only the right of the superior to rule the inferior. Thirdly, according to Drury, religion is the glue that holds society together. It is a handle by which the ruler can manipulate the masses. Any religion will do. Strauss is indifferent to them all. Fourthly, secular society is the worst possible thing because it leads to individualism, liberalism, and relativism, all of which encourage dissent and rebellion. As Drury sums it up, you want a crowd that you can manipulate like putty. Fifthly, Strauss thinks that a political order can be stable only if it is united by an external threat. And following Machiavelli, he maintains that if no external threat exists, then one has to be manufactured. I won't say anything about 9/11 here. Sixthly, that's my editorial comment about 9/11. Sixthly, the last one. In Strauss's view, the trouble with liberal society is that it dispenses with noble lies and pious frauds. It tries to found society in secular, rational foundations. So when you look at those points, the driving points behind the Straussian philosophy, and you look at the actions of this cabal that's in power right now, it just makes such a perfect fit, and you can understand why you're seeing the things that you're seeing going on in the world today.
It really does help. I agree with you. And what kind of bothers me, and this is something that I don't have an answer for, is that this sort of information, I think, is important to everybody, be they Republican or Democrat or Canadian or French or whatever. And the fact of the matter is, you don't have the nightly news that most people get their information from really talking about things in depth and explaining what the benefits or the non-benefits of these sorts of philosophies are. How do you get the message out? I don't know. I mean, on the radio, well, you know, it's kind of hard because, well, once again, that liberal media is full of conservative voices on the radio. So
sure is. Jay, Johnny, thanks so much for your call. We do appreciate
thank
it. We got time for another call before the top of the hour. We got Bill in Fort Myers. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hello, Guy.
Welcome.
Hi, and I wish your partner all the luck. I hope he's not leaving because of anything I said.
Oh, of course. I can't take it anymore, man.
Well, going on about those neocons, you know, people say, well, why are they neocon means new conservative. The question is, what were they before? They were liberal intellectual types, college professors.
Some of them were. I mean, I know who you're talking about is what's oh God, that nutty SDS guy that's now on Salon.com.
Well, don't you see the irony though? Because I'm not talking about bumper sticker conservatives like Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter, but a real conservative, in other words, a good person. Their big biggest fear in life is when their children are old enough to go to college and they're going to be facing those liberal college professors. And now the Bush administration is letting those people lead us into one disaster after the other. I mean, they're useful people. They've got IQs that we can only dream about, but you can't give
David Horowitz.
Like that.
I'm sorry, David Horowitz is
right.
Who I was trying
you
to think of.
You can't give
yeah.
somebody like that real power, or you're going to run into a disaster like we're facing right now.
Well, everybody has their opinions, and everybody has is right to change them. These people, though, with this philosophy of Leo Strauss and Wolfowitz and Pearl, who were at one time considered themselves on the left. It's dangerous, and it's dangerous whether they stayed on the left or on the right. These are just dangerous people in general.
Well, Bill Clinton had enough sense to know that these are very smart people, very patriotic people, but people like that cannot handle real power. But the Bush administration fell for it.
The Bush administration is digging us a hole that I don't know how we're going to get out of.
Well, one other thing I wanted to mention, the lady was concerned about paying Bush to go down to NASCAR, which I didn't like that either. But what really irritated me this week was we've got this so-called Medicare reform, which has got so many holes in it, I won't even start in on it. And the U.S. taxpayer has to pay for a big television commercial about how great it is during an election year. I don't understand why that's even legal. I really don't.
It's an ad. It's a campaign ad for Bush.
Let him pay for it.
I understand why there's got to be a lot of what I would consider real old style conservatives that have to be freaking out about this. I mean, that this has gone so far beyond into the surreal sort of Machiavellian 1984 Orwellian of thought that I don't know how you guys can stand it.
I want to bring up one other topic. This might give Guy a headache, but Ralph Nader's considering running. Of course, I hope he stays out of it. But if it's okay, let him run. But I wonder why he wants to run. Isn't it true that George Bush's administration came up with an environmental program called Clear Skies? How could Ralph Nader be against anything like that?
Because that's just like No Child Left Behind. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, I'm enjoying the program, and thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Bill. Bill always a good caller. Always got something good to say. So interesting, the Clear Skies. You know, you had to bring that up.
I know.
That's another one of those things. Doesn't that sound nice?
Yeah.
Clear skies.
Who doesn't like clear skies?
A nice initiative. Clear
Clean
skies.
Water.
Yeah.
Clear skies. Fresh air.
And yet the Clear Skies Amendment gives many of the industries carte blanche to throw as much crap in the air as they want to. That's what clear skies is.
Yeah. It's clear for people to pollute.
But then again, you know, we've learned over the years that if we would only leave pollution and clean air up to the corporations, they would take good care of
it. Exactly. Rivers won't catch on fire.
No, and there was no Love Canal. That was all a joke. forget that. It was just a joke. It never really happened. That's what they'd have you believe. But
man,
these good corporations. Hey, don't get us wrong when we start talking about corporations. I understand we need corporations. There's going to be big corporations. But they're not socio-friendly. They're not social.
No, their only purpose is for profit. Okay, so they're almost inherently asocial or amoral. They have no morality. The only morality is what we give them legislatively. Even Thomas Jefferson wanted an amendment that every 25 years every corporation had to be dissolved and reformed.
Yeah, well, that might be a tough one.
Yeah, because they control us now. So how are we going to get them to do that?
Yeah, they do control us now, but we're going to have to get some of that control back again. There's just too many. Well, it comes right down to campaign finance reform when it all boils down to it.
Instant runoff voting, things like that. Maybe real democracy, one person, one vote, instead of that silly electoral college,
right.
Which is not one person, one vote. That gives people, more power than one vote.
You know, talk about somebody that wanted to talk out of both sides of their mouth. We were talking before the show today about that. Go ahead and tell them what you're talking about, the electoral college.
Well, everyone knows that just before the 2000 results came in, that the Republicans thought that Bush would win the popular vote but lose the electoral college. And they were prepared to fight that all the way to the Supreme Court and say how undemocratic that was and how one man, one vote was the way it should be. Lo and behold, they had to take a different tack on that, and it's amazing hypocrisy.
They were ready to fight both sides of that issue, had lawyers lined up to do it either way, whatever it took.
Get Roy Black, he might be able to help.
Yeah, oh yeah. You know, you're listening to the Guy James Show. You're welcome to call us in. Call us in.
I don't know what that means.
There's something wrong with me today.
Yeah, me too.
Call us at 888-602-7500 or 7501, 7502, 7503, or 7504. And if you're listening locally here in Lee County, Florida, you can call us at 479-5540. I would like to, if I can find it here, I would like to let the good folks know about something local going on this evening.
Really?
Yours truly is going to be at the Shell Point Democratic Club. Boy, are they doing a good job out there. And we're going to be out at the Shell Point Democratic Club tonight at about 7 o'clock, and we're going to speak to them. They're having a little wine and cheese party and a silent auction.
Oh, nice,
and,
nice.
We're going to talk to them. So a good time's going to be had out there. Liz Bainbridge is the president of the Shell Point Club, and I'd like to thank the folks of the Greater Fort Myers Club this past week and the Bonita Club for having us in, and we've got some more little deals planned soon. So, hey, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Guy James Show on 1200 AM WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after the news.
The Guy James Show. Coming up on the...
have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you here on the Guy James Show. I'm sitting here with Mike again. Is his last flight to hear
yes, it is.
Guy James Show. Mike, it's going to be different here without you.
Well, I'll certainly miss it. Yeah, it's been a regular part of, or pretty much regular part of my Saturdays for almost a year now.
So. Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I don't think I ever wrote down exactly when you came on board.
April or May of last year, I'm thinking.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, well, you've got all this broadcast experience now. You can land yourself you can land yourself one of these same big-paying jobs up there
right.
Where you're going.
Then I could have somebody write a book for me, and they could, you know, buy 50,000 or 50 million copies and put them in Barnes & Noble everywhere.
That's how it happens.
It is?
I think you're on your way.
Oh, wow.
That's all there is to it.
And I could just criticize people that can't fight back, and it'd be great.
Right. Just like Mr. Limbaugh. It's killing me that this week... I admit it. I tune in those shows now and then. I really do. And there's something wrong with Limbaugh. There's something wrong with him.
He's always been mentally
well, brave. I know. But there's something really wrong with him now. And I have this friend that we correspond quite a bit, and he's had pain trouble. He's had serious pain trouble, and he says, and I'm not going to identify him, and I don't say this to embarrass him at all, but he wrote and told me that he lives on OxyContin, 2 to 4 40 milligrams a day. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know. He said I hate it, but it gets me out of bed and relieves the pain enough to function and go to work every day. He says, I'm almost sure Rush is still taking the pills. He displays a lot of the symptoms I display every day and trying to be, quote, normal. No matter how hard you try, your mind doesn't cooperate, and when he came back from rehab, nobody listened to him with more intent to see how he was coping with the transition than I. I don't see a difference. If he was still in pain, I would sense it. And if he's taken something non-narcotic and relieving his pain is something I don't know about, and my doctors have given me everything on the market during the last 10 years. So it's interesting, very, very interesting. Here's a person that's relied on OxyContin for a long time for actual pain, and interesting to see his outlook on Mr. Limbaugh, how he's coping with this.
It is. You know, drug use is not a joking, especially addiction, isn't a funny thing. But and the reason we pump this, I mean, is a little different because we know that Rush has been such a hypocrite for so long in attacking people that had problems and had issues that it just seems like some sort of poetic justice in my mind.
Yeah, issues like this. And he has been totally hypocritical, making fun of other people when they died and so forth.
But with $36 million a year, he won't be out on the street selling his body. To buy more pills.
Well, that's
thank
a fact.
God. But thank I mean,
yeah. Hey, we're going to go to Damon in Houston. Damon, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Great.
You know, it's coincidentally you were talking about Rush Limbaugh because what I was calling about had something to do with him. I couldn't help but be amused reading in USA Today this week. They did a story in which Limbaugh and Matt Drudge were complaining because the mainstream media didn't pick up on that John Kerry story that they were trying to float out there.
Right.
And they say that this is an example of the liberal bias of the media, the fact that they didn't pick up on this lie and help spread it, you know, to the rest of the world. You know, I thought that was so ridiculous. It's incredible that these people, you know, they think that they can just say anything about anybody and the news media is supposed to pick it up and spread it as if it's fact. And unfortunately, too often they do that. But this time, I think that they deserve thumbs up for not carrying that story.
Well, it worked real well for them during the Clinton administration.
Oh, yeah.
I guess they thought they'd carry it on.
Yeah, no, they have those little think tanks come up with a story or some radio announcement, and then it goes to a slightly larger local press. Then now it's real news, and then Rush Limbaugh says, I've heard a story that it may be true. And, well, it's true now, and then it goes to the nightly news.
I've got news for you, Damon. I don't, as they say, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, I know. It's only just begun, as Karen Carpenter used to say.
Right.
I don't think we've ever had a Karen Carpenter quote on the show before. That's a first.
But it should be, we've only just begun.
Exactly.
But, you know what, I have to tell you, though, I am really encouraged. You know, I've been looking at how Bush's poll numbers are falling and how, you know, they did a poll this week and they said if the election were held today, not only would he lose against John Kerry, he would lose against John Edwards. I mean, and that's, you know, so I get the feeling that people in America are finally starting to wake up. They're finally starting to pay attention and see that this emperor has no clothes. And, you know, I'm much more encouraged now than I was even a few months ago. And I know we still have a long ways to go before November, but I think that, you know, people are finally starting to see Bush for what he really is. And I'm encouraged by that.
I am, too. And I think one thing, look, in a perfect world, one where we had a media that was objective and actually questions people's motives and integrity and all those things, then I know for a fact would win almost every time.
Yeah.
But I'm just real, this will be a good test of how far gone the media actually is,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Whether they fall into the trap of repeating the Republican lies about Kerry or Edwards or whomever. And hey, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
You seem to, you've called before, correct?
Yes.
You have a pretty good handle on the whole media idea, I think, from your previous calls. This is something I read in Fraud, the author that was here a couple days, or last week, that called in. And I'd never noticed, or I had noticed, and just glossed over, but every time they call Kerry a Massachusetts liberal, or they call Pelosi a San Francisco liberal, why don't they call Trent Lott a Confederate conservative, or a Mississippi conservative, or Tom DeLay a Texas conservative, or just a friggin' nut? You know, it's really odd to me how that's happened, and I don't know how liberal media could have done this.
You
how did it happen?
I don't know. It's such an incredible disparity. I think that unfortunately there's a perception that the word liberal has a negative connotation that isn't considered as the same as calling somebody a conservative. You know, whenever you look at a political ad on TV, it's a Republican, they always mention the fact I'm a conservative businessman or something like that. But you never see people who are liberal refer to themselves as liberal, you know, in their commercials. So I think that liberal has a negative connotation in the minds of people, unfortunately.
They've done that. They have been successful in turning that word around. I for one, you know, I know a lot of people maybe not won't agree with me, and to be democratically, politically correct, a lot of people are calling themselves progressives right now.
Right.
I'm a liberal.
That's right.
I'm a liberal. I will not run for that. I advertise from it. I advertise what I am. I'm a liberal. I have always been a liberal, and I will always be a liberal. And if they want to try and make that a dirty word, well, let them try, but I'm proud of it.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to hear that, and I feel the exact same way. I mean, not only – some people say, you know, I'm not ashamed to be a liberal. I say, not ashamed. I'm proud to be a liberal. You know, I know that it's the liberals who – have stood up for the common man in this country and have stood up, you know, for civil rights for everybody. You know, there's a proud and long history of being a liberal. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to be proud of. And when you look at the dictionary and you look at the word conservative, the very definition of the word conservative is closed-minded and not open to new ideas. If, you know, just looking at the generic definitions of the word, being a conservative is not necessarily something to be proud of.
And when we say we're one or the other, I don't say that I'm all liberal.
That's right.
I have some views that are not liberal at all.
Yeah, I lean
liberal, and there's more of me that's liberal than is on the other side.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's a way of labeling people. I think they just like to label people one way. That us them mentality. That Limbaugh and his ilk have, you know, and I was reading, you know, I've read, you know, we're talking about the media. I don't know if you guys read this book about by David Brock, entitled Blinded from the Right.
Oh, yes.
Used to be a right-wing hitman, so to speak, and help, you know, spread all these lies about the Clintons and stuff out there. And he talks about how easier it is to manipulate the media. You know, you can just feed stuff to them, and they don't do any fact-checking, you know. They just report whatever is sent to them. They seem like they're getting better about it with this, you know, Matt Drudge story and everything. But I'm hoping that they will do a better job, you know, this time of sticking to the facts, so we don't have to endure stuff like Al Gore claiming he invented the Internet would never happen, you know, and things like that. You know, I guess we'll see.
Yes, we will.
We will.
Hey, Damon, thanks so much for calling.
Well, guys, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I certainly appreciate it, and I love your show.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
We right now have the New York Bureau on the line.
We do.
Of course, you know, we've got our I don't want to say lesser important, but our minor bureaus, like our minor bureau in Monkey Junction, North Carolina, and and our other one in Minot, North Dakota, and Dayton, Wyoming.
Okay.
But we also have our major bureaus, and of course, what could be more major than our bureau in New York City? Jeff from the New York Bureau, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Guy and Michael.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and bright in there.
Finally, a connection on the first call. Michael, so sorry you're leaving. You'll be missed.
Well, I'll definitely miss being on the show, too, but thank you very much.
And I look forward to you and the wife coming to New York.
Oh, we will definitely have to definitely plan on something like
we're
that.
We're all going to meet there, and we're all going to this new cabaret show that I understand is going to be a huge hit in New York City.
Well, let's sure hope so.
I certainly hope so, too. I got an amazing cast put together. The writing's coming together. I got Bob Budelang and Plaid Adder contributing.
Wow.
It's getting quite exciting.
Very impressive.
But let me get to my topic of the day, if I might. I don't know if either one of you saw Bush give his little economic pep talk earlier in the week.
Heard clips of it.
And he harped on, I mean, it was mostly the same meaningless stuff, terror, 9/11, madman, blah, blah. But he got into this riff about talking about this bad tax. This bad tax.
The what?
The death tax, the estate tax. He went on and on how it's a bad tax.
Oh,
bad.
Okay.
And he really wants this to be eliminated and permanently and forever and never again can you tax an estate. And, you know, whenever Bush wants something, you can assume two things. It'll be bad for you if you're not rich and privileged, and he will say anything to get it.
Exactly. It's true.
And in reading, I'm working my way through American Dynasty, and I came across a quote from Warren Buffett, a billionaire, by the way, and he says, without the estate tax, you will have in effect an aristocracy of wealth, which means you pass down the ability to command the resources of the nation based on heredity rather than merit.
That's been the whole argument behind the inheritance tax since it became a tax. I mean, it's amazing how they've twisted the message again.
But here, now Bush...
The death tax.
You can't... It's not a death tax because guess what? The dead don't pay taxes.
Well, I know, but here was Bush getting all misty-eyed about people losing the family farm.
No, but hey, that's been debunked. That has been completely debunked.
But that's my whole point, is that he's framing this issue as it's about the families. Well, the family farms and the family businesses are being overrun and wiped out by the corporate interests anyway.
ADM.
Of course. But again, this was a perfect example of again one issue, this death tax, this bad tax issue, and it's a perfect example of typical Bushko using the real Republican trifecta: hate, fear, and ignorance. He makes this message: hate the Democrats in Congress if they don't pass this legislation; fear that this bad tax will affect your family; and allow the corporate media to keep you ignorant about the real truth behind this tax, which is to keep all that money in the elite class while they wipe out the middle class.
True. Do you have some statistics on the inheritance tax or no? Because I've got a few committed to memory here.
Yeah, I, again, in reading the Phillips book this morning, I believe they said that 40% of the taxes taken from this bad tax comes from the top 1% of the population.
Exactly, and I'm not sure what the rate is right now, but it started somewhere after $680,000. And then it was going to be pushed up in 2006 to something like $1 or $2 million before it started. And another fact about it is it's never put into place if there's a spouse still left. So let's say grandpa dies, grandma doesn't have to pay an inheritance tax. And the other facts on these are that who was the big pusher of the attack on the inheritance tax? The Farm, American Farm Institute or something. American Farm Bureau, searching for, with an exhaustive search of one concrete example of the family farm having to be sold before the inheritance tax. They didn't find any. They even said, well, we didn't actually find any, but we've heard.
Yeah, that's right.
They're liars. They're all liars.
No, I mean, if Bush could find even one family farm that was lost due to this bad tax, don't you think they'd be on the podium with him?
Yes, they would be. They'd be like, look at these poor people. They had to sell their Ferrari and buy a Lexus.
But did you hear one bit of analysis on any news broadcast that said, by the way, everything Bush said about the bad tax is absolute BS, and it's just about the wealthy keeping as much of their wealth as possible?
Exactly, and this is what's amazing, is your average person never, ever even has to conceive of the inheritance tax. Never. Never.
And the tax cuts. You know, he's going to keep... Make no mistake about it. If he had a free rein right now, there would be more tax cuts. I mean, they're definitely looking for more tax cuts.
We've already got a proportional tax system when you toss in regressive taxation, sales taxes, property taxes, all that. So if you look at our quintiles, they're all set between like 17 and 20% regardless of the income.
Absolutely.
That's a fact. And the fact is they want to shift even more. They want your property taxes for your schools and for your roads to double. They want they want you to have to pay more for everything you do. And the fact is, 98% of us make under as a family income under $260,000 or something like that.
Way under.
Well, I'm just saying they're selling this fantasy life as some sort of average person. It's not. Most doctors don't make that much money.
Well, and you know, here you have your. You're yuppie, I guess you'd still call it. Is that word still around?
You mean the $40,000 a year millionaires?
Republicans who are looking for that American dream and just know that if they remain a good Republican and stay true to the faith.
Well, you know, yeah, except most of the jobs outside of certain professions, which were those tech jobs that, you know, blew up in the 90s, they're disappearing. Their wages going down. Not that necessarily they should have been so high in the first place, but that's a market issue. That's a whatever. But, I mean, you know, the fact is that there aren't that many opportunities unless you want to move other people's money around and catch the crumbs as it falls off.
Well, I think that one issue that people, real people, working people have got to grasp is that if these people are allowed to continue their agenda, the American dream is gone. You will not be able. I mean, if you're a wage slave, if you're working 2.5 jobs to keep met food on your table, where is the opportunity for entrepreneurism?
Well, and this is another fact that most recent studies have shown that that people in the top 20, middle 20, and bottom 20, your chances of staying in that quintile that you're born in is almost completely tagged on to your father's income. There's not that much quintile movement. It doesn't really exist. And I think if you look at Europe, they have about the same sort of movement between. I mean, there's no big difference, but yet we're fed this BS line constantly that everyone's becoming a millionaire. Well, I know they're not.
Another line that I liked in the Kevin Phillips American Dynasty book is they were talking about how the Republicans, they talk about family values, and that you think that they're talking about you and your, but what they're talking about is the value of being in the right family.
Oh, of course. And when they talk about rights, what they mean, when they talk about rights, they want to defend their right to exploit you. I mean, that's what they're talking about. When they talk about rights, that's what their rights are about, the ability for people to exploit each other without any sort of oversight, period. And everyone knows the more powerful get more powerful in a system that there's no sorts of regulation on or taxation on. It's just a fact. And if and it's amazing. It's, I'm sorry. This subject just gives me a headache.
I could never have told you had any passion about it. Never could have known.
Oh, God. Toss in the party last night, and my head's just splitting right now.
Oh, you wind him up and let him go on this issue, and he's that Energizer Bunny of this issue. He will keep going on it. It's a serious issue, and, of course, there's a lot of serious issues right now with this administration. They don't seem to be living in the real world at all, not in the real world. They're living in their real world.
Yeah, their real world is way, way different than ours.
And, Bush tried to convince us during that recent little Jim Russert thing that he saw the world as it really is, and I'm telling you, if that's really the way he sees the world, oh my God.
Packaging is amazing. Here's George Bush that somehow Republicans, middle class, blue collar Republican workers go, oh, he's a normal guy. How the hell did they convince Americans that a guy from one of the most influential families in the history of America is a normal, average guy because he talks with an accent and seems stupid?
Yeah.
I mean, that's prejudiced.
Oh, yeah. His grandfather was a senator. His father was the head of the CIA, vice president, senator, and president of the United States. Just an average guy.
Even Colin Powell in his book blasted the people that went into the National Guard from influential families and avoided duty in Vietnam. Colin Powell blasted them. He doesn't do it now. Because, well, that would be...
Let's not go there.
That's
what he said after when asked about it in front of the Senate committee. Let's not go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
After
well,
all, his family is nicely set up. They gave a nice job to his son.
You know, yeah, I mean...
Who is like... Has there ever been anyone more smug than Michael Powell?
Not really.
I don't think so.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be so proud if everything I did was predicated by my family getting me a job.
Well...
I'm sorry, but you know what? I'd like to do something on my own.
Based on heredity rather than merit.
Well, you know,
you know that George W. Bush, had he been George W. whatever, wouldn't he's never worked a day in his life.
No, he'd be a used car salesman somewhere and drunk every night trying to pick up waitresses.
I've always said he wouldn't be the greeter at Walmart. I believe that. I don't think he could get that job. I really don't think so. Yeah, if he did, he couldn't hold it because they'd get rid of him soon. Jeff, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Michael. Safe travels, and give my best to Steph.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
We do appreciate it. I think we're going to pause for a little break right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show on 1200 AM WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida, and we'll be right back after these words.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
I don't remember ever not having allergies. Spring and fall were the worst. I was always a runny-nosed little kid. Because of my seasonal allergies and allergic asthma, I often couldn't play outside with my friends at recess. I wanted to play on the soccer team, but I was just too miserable to be outdoors. Growing up, I tried over-the-counter allergy medications, but they either didn't work for me or they made me so sleepy I felt out of it. I was starting to think I'd always have to suffer outdoors. But you know, I finally got smart. I saw an allergy specialist, and I got the right treatment program. I even became a nurse. And today I help kids with allergies, so they won't have to go through what I did. Get smart like I did. See your allergist or personal physician. My name is Melanie Schell, and this is my true story. Call 1-800-842-7777 for more information, or go to smartaboutallergies.com on the web. This has been a public service message from the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
I watch you drink, and I fear for our future.
I hate you, and I feel ashamed.
I confront you, and I fear losing control.
I love you, and my heart aches with sadness.
I wish you would just stop drinking.
We know what you feel because we've been there. We're Al-Anon and Alateen. Call 888-4-ALANON.
Wetlands are home to hundreds of wildlife species. They also purify our water and provide extraordinary places to enjoy the outdoors. But more than half our original wetlands have disappeared, and we lose 100,000 additional wetland acres every year. Since 1937, Ducks Unlimited has led the charge to restore and protect our wetlands. You can help. Call DU at 1-800-45-DUCKS or log on to www.ducks.org.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Back with us. Guy James here with you this Saturday afternoon, and Mike's in the co-pilot's chair over there.
Having a grand time.
Hey, if you're on Democratic Underground, if you're not, give us a call. 888-602-7500. That's 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, or 04. And if you're local here, you can call us at 479-5540. We've got a couple lines open right now. We'd like to have you call us and join in on this cerebral conversation we've got going on here this afternoon.
I'll admit that sometimes I lose control over the intellectual aspect of some of these arguments. They seem so ridiculous to me that, you know, it almost gets, you have to re-explain the concept of a progressive tax, income tax. I mean, it's almost mind-boggling. You know, and actually, the politicians on the Republican side rarely challenge the idea of the progressive tax. You'll get people calling in the show that do it, but they'll never say that because they know the American population would go, wait a second, back off. But
you're right.
They're good at it, man. They're good.
You're absolutely right. I get rather riled up myself, and I do, like I mentioned before, I do listen to some of the things going on about the news all week long with Hannity and Limbaugh and so forth, and it just makes me madder than hell.
I was at the bookstore the other day and saw a Hannity book that says Defeating Liberalism. I'm thinking, sitting there thinking, what, you want to bring back Jim Crow laws, poll taxes?
Yeah.
I mean, that's liberalism.
Yeah.
You want to bring back, get rid of Social Security, Medicare, let all those old people die in their beds? Yeah, what a jackass. Yeah, okay.
He is a jackass. I mean, I'll say that right now. He's said some of the most vile things lately. And, you know, it actually is their aim to get rid of the Democratic Party, to get rid of them. And, you know, that's really healthy for America.
Oh, yeah, hey, yeah. I mean, in the whole everything, if you just look back and remember back to 2000 and 1999 with all the lies about that Bush campaign, all the lies, not an interventionist in international relations, no nation building. Oh, now they say the tax cuts because we were in a recession. Well, no, the tax cuts didn't come the first time because we were in a recession. They came because, and we've got audio over and over and over again, you know, that has him saying we're doing the tax cuts because we've got a big surplus.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all a lie. Every single thing that comes out of their mouth is a lie.
Over and over and over again, and yet there are people that will defend. I don't get it. And the longer it goes, the worse it is.
Abortion and gay marriage. I mean, it's coming down to, they're getting people to basically go off emotional issues and not think about the big picture.
And, of course, they'll get their radical right-wing Christian coalition friends to go right along with that in solidarity.
That'll but, you know, will they be voting for them when they lose their house? I don't know. But by that time, will it really matter? I don't know.
Hey, we've got John in Fort Myers. John, welcome to the program.
Guy, I'm an older person, and I have voted every time that I can vote. But one thing that I don't understand, how a working man can vote for a Republican.
Well,
I don't know. You got me.
There's
just no telling.
I've never understood it. I'd like for somebody to tell me what the Republican Party has ever done for the working man here in this country.
Amen. You know, my father taught me never to be a parasite, and it seems like both all the people in Washington D.C. either help somebody who hasn't been responsible for their own life, or they help the rich. The middle class who has fought the wars, paid the taxes and everything, they do nothing for us. Our drug bills are so high, and we really have to save and save to pay for our own drugs.
Well, it's you're not alone. There's millions of people across the country with the same problem and having to take half doses and all that sort of thing.
And it goes beyond that. Everyone should have health care. If we want to talk about a healthy economy, a healthy population, everyone should have access and should have health care. I mean, it's mind-boggling. How can the Republicans go off and say everyone having health care is a bad thing? And somehow I don't understand how they're able to get that message across and people believe it.
If there's one thing a civilized society should afford its people, it should be a respectable, affordable health care.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost mind-boggling. I mean, we pretty much stopped all progress after the New Deal and the Great Society. I mean, we start getting caught up in minutiae. And
oh, you take a look at the way things are going right now for example, in industrial America. You know, there are a lot of companies I happen to know. One or two companies very, very well that I worked for in my youth. And people had full insurance benefits, and they had security savings plan and all that. Now that's all been cut, and it's been first they eliminated 10% of it, started making them pay 10% of the cost, and then 20% of the cost, and then 30%, now 50%. They've done away with the security savings plan, and what do you know? The corporate profits have gone way up.
The productivity is up.
Yeah. One thing I want to say to you is that we retired. When we worked, we got nothing. We got health insurance when we were there. But we ended up, when we retired, we have no dental, no eyes, no nothing, no prescriptions. And there's a lot more working people than there are companies. And I would like to know who the people are that are voting for the Republicans that they get in.
I'd like to understand that myself. I really would. Thanks so much for your call, John.
Okay, nice talking with you.
Thank you.
It bothers me so much when people that have worked their entire life making money for other people, they retire and they want to take us back to a type of society where it's basically exploit, 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 and the old can go die alone. It's inhumane. It's immoral. They're immoral people.
But Mike, they're not their brother's keepers.
No, they're not.
They you got to be responsible.
No, they are their brother's keeper.
Personal responsibility.
No, they are their brother's keeper. Personal. Just not anyone else's.
Personal responsibility.
Or anyone else's grandmother or grandfather or child or uncle or aunt or parent or mother or father or any of
them. That's right. Hey, and speaking of personal responsibility, to that guy, I know he's listening. That guy called in last week and objected because I said some things about the AWOL situation with Bush and his military record or lack of it. Guy made an example of a article that was in the Naples Daily News proving.
I remember that. Yeah,
proving that Bush was in Alabama at a certain time. Well, I got the audio out of it, and I got it on this computer here that I wanted to play today, and I can't. But anyway, there's just one problem with it.
What's that?
The guy's dates. They didn't line up with Bush's dates. When the guy was in Alabama that swore that he knew Bush and even went to lunch with him, Bush wasn't even transferred to Alabama yet, so it couldn't have happened. So there you go.
Yeah. Either way, he slacked on. He's slack. He's a slacker. I mean, he left. And leaving is either absent without leave or whatever, but, I mean, he left.
Tell me the truth about it, and I got to be honest. I wouldn't really give a damn about that whole situation if it weren't for that flight suit that he wore out on aircraft.
Yeah, exactly. If he wasn't parading around trying to take advantage of this mythology, then we wouldn't. Well, we'd probably still care, but it wouldn't be such a big issue, and it wouldn't be as a serious an issue.
I was a warrior.
Yeah. Well, other people's kids, exactly.
We got Bob in Fort Myers. Bob, welcome to the program.
Well, yes. Put on regime change on that list of things you were talking about that Bush said he wasn't going to do.
Yeah.
You know,
no joke. It's a whole list of stuff.
Yeah, I have talked to people that actually believe he landed the plane on that carrier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the news reports at the very first said that. I remember watching that, and they said that he did.
And I'm going to tell you, those guys practice every day to land on that postage stamp, and some guy that hasn't flown or probably didn't even fly isn't going to be able to land a plane like that. You know, I'm glad the lady mentioned about the changing the hamburger preparation or the food preparation jobs to manufacturing jobs. This was mentioned yesterday on one of the programs I heard, and it's just interesting how they keep changing the names of things or recategorizing them to make the numbers look good. Now, when those become manufacturing jobs and they move overseas, am I going to have to drive to China for my
hamburger? that's a good point, Bob.
Yeah.
Now, the same-sex marriage, I heard a program on this, too, and, of course, the administration doesn't want to recognize this, but do you realize the Reagan administration recognized same-sex marriages?
What?
Well, they didn't want people, same-sex people who got married in the armed services, and they would muster anybody out that they found out had done this. So in order to muster them out, you have to recognize the same-sex marriage. So it's kind of a catch-22, isn't it?
I'm not familiar with that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I wish I could elaborate more, because they didn't give an example of anybody that was thrown out of the service for being married to someone of the same sex.
Here's my thing. I mean, you know, the whole idea behind this anti-same-sex marriage is that it breaks God's covenant or something, or it's immoral or whatever, or God's not there, or Leviticus, I don't know. But the fact is, when I got married, there was no minister. It was a county marriage. So am I not married? Because there was no God in my marriage.
Well,
am I not married? Go ahead and tell me I'm not married, and somebody's going to get nailed.
Well,
I mean, you know. Well,
before I mention the president's speech today, I have a rule of life. If it doesn't affect me, I don't mess with it, and I don't try to tell other people how to live or what to do.
Exactly.
And in that same category, I don't understand these people who want to come along and defend the president. He's a big boy. He can do it himself. But these Republicans just seem to somehow have to... I just don't understand it. But I heard the president's speech today. I don't know if you've heard it.
Oh, I don't know if I want to.
Well, he gave about six different agencies that had felt that we were threatened by Iraq.
Oh, geez.
And it was one of these things where I've heard my kids do them. Well, Bobby told me, and Jimmy told me, too. And Larry told me, so, you know, I did it. And let's face it. I'll be generous. The president was lied to by Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and Pearl and Karl Rove. All these guys have wanted to go to war since the Clinton administration. And they found a guy that, if they told him the right stuff, would do it.
Absolutely.
And that's the bottom line. And he ought to just say, you know, I followed a bunch of bad advice. And as far as my service in the National Guard, I did what everybody else was doing at that time, too.
Yeah, why not?
That's it.
Why not?
I could respect that, because I wouldn't have wanted to go to Vietnam either.
Exactly. I think we all could. But, you know, it's just like Martha Stewart and all the rest of them. They all tried to hide in a lie, which is common in human nature. And that's another case that gets me. If I were her lawyer, I'd go to that jury and I'd say, okay, this lady was told something, and it was obviously inside information. If you were told that, would you have said, oh, it's inside information, I can't sell my stock? And then when you were caught selling your stock on inside information, would you try to say, oh, no, I didn't do that? All these people would let her off in a New York minute.
And this is where the ambiguity of personal relationships come in. Let's say somebody comes up to you and says, and it's a friend of yours, okay, and says, I've got this stock tip for you that's insider trading, okay? Well, are you morally, if you take that advice, you've broken the law, okay, if you take that insider information. If, on the other hand, you don't, and let's say you don't tell anyone that it happened, a tree fall in the forest, did anybody hear it? I mean, shouldn't you turn that person in? And shouldn't you say, you know, go to the FEC and or the FCC and, or some F and
SEC.
Something. SEC, yeah. Shouldn't you go to them and say, hey, somebody tried to give me an illegal stock tip. Let's arrest my friend. I don't know. I mean, that's some real fuzzy area there. And if they just admitted to it, then maybe it wouldn't be such a bad issue.
This is what they're trying to say. You lied. I don't know of anybody in my whole life that I haven't caught in a lie or know that lied. And if we're going to start taking people to court over that, and, you know, the biggest liars were the guys at Enron and WorldCom and all that. And what are those guys doing? They're sitting on their farms with their $20 million parachutes just having a life of Riley.
Well, Ken Lay, you know.
Who?
Who? Ken Lay.
Bush, I don't know who you're talking
Bush
about.
Bush hardly knew him.
Yeah, I only had an office in the White House choosing appointees for the administration.
Oh, God.
Well, that's not. He didn't know he was there.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's
Bob,
a great show.
Thanks for your call. We're going to go to Gene in Bonita. Gene, welcome to the program.
Hello, guys. Just checking in with you. As you guys know, I listen every week when I can, in between phone calls and other things at work. Another great show. Appreciate everything you do. And just calling to remind the listeners.
Speak up a little if you can, Gene.
Yeah, we're just calling to remind the listeners out there that the Guy James Show is listener-funded, and we get checks, or you get checks in the mail every week, and I encourage everybody listening out there, if they send a $5 or $10 bill in, they can go to the website, www.theguyjamesshow, and get the address, or they can just click on right there and make a donation on their credit card. Michael, sorry to hear you're leaving. I hope you enjoy your new life.
Well,
and I hope you keep carrying the Democrat banner high, as you always have, and I know you will.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm certainly going to miss everyone here. So.
Well, you've done a great job. Added a nice new dimension to the Guy James Show for this last year, and you've got a lot of listeners red in the face, and we like that. It's been a fun show.
It's always nice to have a nice unhinged person next to a nice rational person like Guy.
You're definitely unhinged, but you've been a good compliment to Guy.
Thank you.
I just want to call and thank you for sitting in with him so often during the last year. You're a man of your convictions, and that comes out loud and clear over the airwaves. And you guys just keep up the good work. You folks listening on the internet, remember, it's not too long before we got an election. When you log off tonight, call your friends, go to a rally, join your local clubs, write a $20 check for your dues, get involved, get off the internet and get in the polling booths. That's where it's going to happen. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you, Gene. Thanks very much for your call. We do appreciate it.
That is an important message, though, too. I mean, I find myself getting caught up on the internet debates and things like that and forget that I could be out, you know, on some, you know, knocking on doors or you know, doing something other. It's important. The internet is important, and it's a great tool, but we got to get out there, too.
Well, we had some people here locally. I don't think I've discussed this with you, but we had some people here locally that came up with a great idea.
What's that?
And I'm caught up in it. You know, one of the things that the Democratic Party has been deficient in over the years is keeping good databases and so forth, and we've been remiss in doing that here in Southwest Florida. So on primary day, we, since it's going to be all Democrats, go to the polls.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I said, if you're going to go fishing, go where the fish are.
Of course.
And so we're going to have representatives, of course, 50 feet away from each polling booth, with a table where people can fill out name, address, email address, the whole deal. And we'll have a database here in Southwest Florida where we can start communicating with all the Democrats.
That will be an excellent, and everyone should do that everywhere. Yep. If your primary hasn't happened yet, start organizing. Do that.
I'm going to be doing it in my precinct.
I have a friend who had a neat idea. He said that he wants to set up a little booth that's, you know, more than the 50 feet away, and just have a sign and hold a sign up, or maybe not even a booth, but hold a sign up that says "Demand a receipt."
yeah, I think that's a good
demand
idea.
Demand your receipt.
Yeah, and, you know, I've told this story before, but the first time I ever voted here in Southwest Florida, I went to my precinct, which is only about, what, maybe 200-300 yards from where we live?
Yeah.
And went to open up the door of the polling place, and somebody opened it for me. And as they opened the door for me, they handed me some campaign literature and said, "Here, vote for so-and-so." As I was walking in the door,
really,
and I said, "Hey, wait a minute! You can't do this." And the guy says, "Well, we've always done it that way." And so I go inside and I complain to the poll workers and the poll captain and said, "Well, yeah, I've always done that way."
You know what? Call the police.
Yeah, well,
call the police and say a crime against the liberties of Americans are being
They haven't done it lately.
Yeah, violated.
Must have had a little effect. I don't know if I was the first person ever saying against it. Hey, we're going to go to another call right now. We got John in Cape Coral. John.
Well, good afternoon. You know, it's great to hear you folks because during the week, all we get basically on the talk radio station down here is Republican right-wing slanted talk radio. And they're very, very careful in the last several months to limit callers so people who are not Republican, right-wing slanted, can't call in very often.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Rush hasn't been taking screened live callers for years.
Well, I'm talking now about the local talk.
The locals,
radio.
Too?
The local talk radio in Southwest Florida. And it has become extremely slanted. The talk show host tells everybody why they should vote for George W. Bush. I've heard Guy call in a couple times trying to refute it. But he really does not. It really is a biased show, and there's no two ways about it. And the limiting of callers to the once a week is because a number of us called in and rebutted talk show hosts and rebutted the other callers, and they couldn't stand another point of view.
But this is a problem that is nationwide.
Yeah, it's not unique to here in Fort Myers.
No. I mean, that the fact of the matter is, do you think that any station in this area would put Guy on the drive time talk radio? Do you think they'd do that? Even if they wanted to, do you think they'd do that?
I think they'd be afraid because, as I said, even as a caller, people say, oh, he calls so often, and I know what he's going to say, and I'm bored hearing him. Why were they bored? Because they knew that they weren't going to hear the right-wing point of view being spoken.
And which is everything is great. The economy's fabulous. Jobs are fabulous. George Bush is God's president, and hallelujah.
Well, particularly that. I mean, I think he's been appointed by God, according to these people.
Well,
he said he was.
Yeah, he said it. He admitted it himself. So.
By the way, the other point was very interesting. I called yesterday to the same local talk show host. I'm going to leave him nameless, but I think people around here know who I'm talking about. And we were talking about a local city councilman, and because of all the politics being Republican, he's naturally Republican. And the issue was that this local city councilman here in the city I come from, Cape Coral, which, by the way, some people may not know, is the largest city in Southwest Florida. They always think of Fort Myers, but I'm going to put a plug in. Cape Coral is big, a lot bigger. Anyway, this fellow, when he ran for office, had the temerity to tell everybody he had a college degree. Well, somebody went digging and found out that it was a total lie. Well, this talk show host said, well, you know, he's a very good guy and he's a great leader, and we shouldn't hold this one mistake against him. Of course, then he tried to make the analogy of Clinton, and, you know, where he didn't like the fact that some of us supported Clinton when they called Clinton a liar. And then, of course, he wasn't too happy with me when I pointed out that maybe Bush has been a little bit of a liar. Except the difference between Clinton and Bush is when Clinton lied, it was about a sexual escapade, and when Bush lied, it cost how many lives?
Well, thousands.
About 550 of our lives here so far, our soldiers, and several thousand others. So,
I mean, there's quite a bit of difference in between that. And yet they're willing to support a George W. Bush. They're willing to support their own. But they continuously condemned Clinton. Slick Willie was the title they gave him. But you can never say a bad word about their hero. I think there's a little hypocrisy
out
there.
Yes, Slick Willie, which is Willie Horton. And by the way, I've read somewhere, he was never known as Willie Horton. He was known as William Horton. But they changed it because Willie sounds, of course, more, I guess, ethnic.
Yeah.
That's nice, isn't it? They're real nice people, aren't they?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. You cannot criticize George W. I mean, the moment you do that, you're criticizing the President of the United States, and how dare you? And yet the double standard.
They've got amnesia. They forgot the last 8 years when Clinton was in office.
You know, I mean, anything went.
Yeah, because you know what they'll say? Well, Clinton wasn't a real president.
I found it so amusing lately when they're talking about the Democrats and our hatred of George W. Bush. Their words, not mine. I've never said I hated George Bush.
I have nothing but contempt for him.
I hate what he stands for, and I hate his policies, but I've never said I hate him.
But I'm not a host either.
But it's absolutely amusing to me that they talk about the hate of the Democratic Party, and the vitriol and just downright meanness during the Clinton administration was absolutely, well, there's been no equal.
Well, I know.
Can I ask another question? I mean, since I have you two learned gentlemen on the other side. Why is it that the 8 years of prosperity that Clinton gave us were not due to anything that Clinton did, but were all due to Reagan and the first Bush?
It's amazing. Logic? No, it's amazing. And remember Clinton's tax hike? Remember what all those Republicans in the House and Senate were saying, that it would crash, the deficit
right.
would shoot up,
right.
that it would lose jobs, it would kill jobs?
Exactly.
They were all wrong.
Yeah.
Every time these people are wrong. Every time they make a judgment or they make some sort of prediction, they're always wrong. Why do people keep voting for stupid people?
Yeah, everything that was right during the Clinton administration was Reagan's to Reagan's credit, and everything that was wrong in this Bush administration was due to the Clinton administration.
I don't understand the logic. Normally, when there's a
there
captain
no
at the helm of a ship, he's the one steering the ship, and you give him credit.
Yeah, and also, remember Cheney's comment that every president fights a war with the previous president's army? Oh, geez. Don't hear that very often anymore, do you?
Well, of course, we don't hear much about Halliburton either.
Of course we don't. It's amazing that liberal media just is not doing a very good job.
By the way, another point, as long as you're giving me a moment, why is it that nobody under Bush is indignant about the rising gas prices and that he's not being asked to do anything about it, and yet we're all paying dearly at the pump, and Halliburton still keeps making the profits, and Mr. Cheney, of course, he doesn't make any profit out of it?
Well, I heard a conservative talk show this week, host, and he shall remain nameless, talk about somebody brought up the fact about Halliburton to him, and he said, "Well, so they've made a mistake or two. Make them pay back the money, and let's go forward." Well, you know, to my money, that'd be like telling a bank robber, "Well, okay, you know, say you're sorry,
put the money back,
and here you go.
Go down the street, rob the other bank.
You can go do it again. It's the same thing."
Of course, they're going to run Cheney for vice president again. There's nothing wrong with him. He's part of the hero worship.
I don't know about that. I don't know for a fact they'll run Cheney. I
keep thinking he's going to have these mysterious health problems right soon.
They're not mysterious. The man's had like 70 heart attacks and a stroke.
Very soon now. Very soon now. I do believe that. I do believe that they're going to have to bail out on him. It just depends how quick some of this other dirt comes out. And well, of course, that case that goes in front of the Supreme Court, that's not going to be heard probably before the election.
Of course not. They've scheduled everything to after the election.
With his duck hunting buddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Scalia. Oh, my God. This person has the temerity to call himself a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
They have some sort of ethics or morality or some sort of ability to pass judgment on other people.
Absolutely a disgrace.
Of course, his fishing buddies we don't talk about either.
No.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, because I'll tell you, you're a ray of daylight on this radio, and my hope is, we really need a full-time talk show host here who's not biased to the right, so when you're finished with this gig, maybe the neighboring station will take you on and we can have some real talk radio. Anyway, that's a hope that I have.
Thank you for your call, John.
Thank you for your great job.
Thanks very much. Well, I'll tell you, you know, we shouldn't have started on that Supreme Court issue because you're absolutely right. If Scalia had any ethics whatsoever, first of all, he wouldn't have gone duck hunting with Dick.
No, he wouldn't.
And secondly, when he came back, if he had ethics, if he was a real man and he knew right from wrong, he would have come back and says, "You know what? You're right."
No, but he mocked the people asking him the question and goes quack, quack at the end of it.
Yeah.
You know what he thinks of you average blue-collar Joe Sixpack people? He thinks you're scum. He thinks you're an idiot. He thinks you're malleable. He thinks you'll do anything. This is the whole Bush cabal. He thinks you are basically peons that they can do anything with and you'll just lap it up like little dogs.
You know why he thinks that? Because they've proved it to him. They've proven it to him.
Well, yeah, but I mean that's
they'll take whatever. It. All that Republican army on the other side marching to his drum. They think there is nothing wrong with what he did. Why?
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Well, of course. They wouldn't have discussed that case while they were out duck hunting, would they? Of course not.
Of course not.
Because they're honorable men.
Oh, yeah.
Dick Cheney said that, while he was in Halliburton, nothing was awry. Of course not. He's a good man.
No.
And Scalia, how can you talk about the Supreme Court?
Well, and everything that Bush talked about after Enron were things that he got caught doing with that little company that he sold out with insider trading, sold all his shares in. What was the name of that
Harkin
company?
Harkin Oil.
Harkin Oil. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, he was investigated, and they just dropped it like a hot rock while his father was vice president. They didn't want to go any farther into that mess. And because they didn't find anything, of course, they didn't charge him. Hey, we got to stop for a break right now. Coming up on news time here at the Guy James Show. You're listening to the Guy James Show on Power Talk 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the news.
A Democrat and proud of it. Guy James. Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
The Red Cross has not had that much to say about its visit today with prisoner of war Saddam Hussein. I'm Dave Schreiber. Two representatives met with the deposed Iraqi leader privately somewhere in a jail in Iraq. Antonella Notari is a spokeswoman for the International Red Cross in Geneva.
We were able to tour the premises, and we were able to speak with Mr. Saddam Hussein in private without any witnesses present. We also took a Red Cross message from him, which he is addressing to his family, and which we will deliver as soon as it has been censored.
U.S. forces captured Saddam Hussein in December. The announcement of the visit to Saddam Hussein came after the U.S. administrator in Iraq, Paul Bremer, cited U.N. estimates that it may take another 15 months to arrange elections, much longer than the time demanded by leading Iraqi politicians. The U.S. is in favor of expanding the U.S.-appointed 25-member Iraqi Governing Council to rule the country until elections can be held. Haiti's President Jean-Bertrand Aristide will share power with political opponents in an exchange that rebels will disarm. Caribbean expert Ken Boudou of Florida International University in Miami says Aristide has broken promises before and could prolong an uprising indefinitely.
Remember, there's no longer a military. There's fairly partly untrained policemen who are defending him. But he could defend himself in Port-au-Prince, you know, and that could probably go on for a very long time.
The U.S. State Department has ordered the withdrawal of all non-essential personnel from the U.S. Embassy. At a Virginia convenience store in Stevens City, the main thing people are talking about today is Mega Millions and who won the jackpot. The lone winning ticket in a multi-state lottery was sold at the Red Apple Country Store in Stevens City. President and Mrs. Bush have lost a dog. Spot has died. Spot was born at the White House during the administration of Mr. Bush's father. This is ABC News.
Moving ideas forward.
Your ideas.
Your ideas.
Black and white or
color ideas.
Color ideas.
Color ideas.
Rethink color.
The Officio 1232 from Ricoh, a multifunction printer that delivers low-cost color without raising the cost of black and white.
Pay for color only when you need it.
The Officio 1232 from Ricoh. Moving ideas forward.
Ideas. Ideas.
Ricoh. Ricoh.
How well do you
print, copy, scan, fax?
How well do you share?
Hey, today's the day. Don't miss another moment to talk to your doctor about Cialis. Because Cialis is here. Find out today if a free sample of prescription Cialis Tadalafil is right for you. You can learn more about Cialis by visiting www.cialis.com or by calling 1-877-4-CIALIS. Cialis is here. Are you ready?
Hey, is it just me, or are you seeing security officers from Kent Security all over Southwest Florida? No, your eyes are not deceiving you. Kent Security Services is Southern Florida's largest locally headquartered security officer provider, and they're growing at a phenomenal rate. All right, so what's this commercial all about? Well, it's simple. Kent Security needs excellent candidates to fill unarmed and armed security officer positions from Fort Myers to Marco Island. From residential to commercial properties, Kent Security is growing now, and they need you now. Jot this number down, 430-9315. That's 430-9315. Call for an immediate interview, or go online to www.kentsecurity.com and fill out an application online. Great pay, great benefits, great company. Kent Security.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Well, here we are in the, I guess, the pilot seat. Mike's in the co-pilot seat. Got another hour of the program to bring to you. Say, I was looking back through the archives the other day. Not our show archives, but the Republican archives.
Oh, okay.
And you'll never guess what I found.
What was that?
I found a whole bunch of campaign ads from the 2000
year
2000. And technically, I hope this turns out. I was going to try and do it in a different way, but we're going to try and
Let's
do it right
how
now.
It works.
Hang on with me just here just for a minute. I'll see if I can play this for
Bear
you.
Bear with Guy. Here we go.
$2.2 trillion. That's a lot of money. $8,000 for each American. It's our government's projected surplus the next 10 years. Al Gore plans to spend it all and more. Gore is proposing 3 times the new spending President Clinton proposed, wiping out the entire surplus and creating a deficit again. Al Gore's big government spending plan threatens America's prosperity.
Yeah, okay.
Al Gore was going to get rid of and have a deficit.
Oh, no.
I wonder what they say to that ad right now.
We shouldn't have run that.
I do wonder what they say to that ad right now.
Gee, I hope no one hears it.
It'd have to be like, oh, my God, embarrassing to know that they actually said that. Al Gore was going to run us into a deficit.
Oh, yeah, because deficits are bad, right?
Of course, you know, the entire deficit is all the fault of the 9/11. That's what they say. Al Gore, you know, if he'd had 9/11 happen to him, you know, the
he would have invaded France, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Iraq or whatever.
I tell you, these people right now, and especially Bush himself, and going back to that Russert interview, which, you know, I know you're lying to me if you're a conservative. If you are absolutely lying to me if you watched that and thought that boy did a good job during it, because it was a disgrace.
Yeah, but they're not going to admit it. Remember, they can't be critical, and if they are, they get savaged by their own.
Even Peggy Noonan said stumbling and bumbling and unsure of himself. But, if you saw that, you know that it was an absolute disgrace what he was saying. Yeah, I lost my train of thought there where I was going with that.
It's easy to do. Believe me, I have too.
Just so many things he said. You know, and just like this past week, they come off looking like idiots. 2.6 million jobs this year we're going to create.
No, 3.5, 2.6.
Never mind.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're not going to create anything. But, hey, McDonald's will become a manufacturing job. It's amazing.
I'll tell you, that's
phenomenal.
How you can watch this week after week after week is and think these people are, first of all, that they're honest. Secondly, that they're competent. It just completely blows me away. I've said it before. I'll say it again. History is going to prove that this is the most corrupt, inept, incompetent administration in this nation's history.
Very much like Mussolini, I'm thinking. Hopefully we'll have... No, I can't say that, can I?
It's just a disgrace. And the bigger disgrace is that there are people who are still behind him, although the poll numbers are starting to drop like a rock.
You know what argument I hear a lot, though? I've heard a couple people that vote Republican or whatever, Bush supporters, they actually say, you know what, yeah, he is kind of stupid, but man, that Gore would have been worse. That's the best they can come up with. And if by now they think that argument's holding water, man, they're
Oh, I'd hate to pull that answer up in a debate contest.
Yeah, that's basically pull it out of something. That's what they're doing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, actually, you know, my wonderful wife sent me an email and said that she's afraid to call in. She doesn't like calling in. And she said that for me to ask why the, well, her words, stupid DNC or rich Dems or rich Dem organizations won't buy radio stations and start getting the message out to the brainwashed masses. That's her comment. I wonder, I mean, the right has spent 30 years, 20 years buying stations and buying the AM dial. We gave up the AM dial. It's amazing. How did that happen? No WKRP. I mean, you know, it's...
I think you hit upon it earlier. I can't remember if we were on the air or you and I were talking about it, but for so long, the Democrats were in power.
Yeah.
I think we took it for granted, and I think it starts slipping away little by little, and I think the Dems didn't realize it because they thought, well, you know, we'll get this back here in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and remember, progressivism or liberalism pretty much dominated the American landscape from the Depression on. Even Nixon, you know, liked the EITC, the Earned Income Tax Credit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even Nixon, okay, so even the Republicans understood that in order to run a modern nation state, you might actually have to do something.
Right.
You know, and these people now are just, they're anarchistic capitalists.
Hey, we got to send word over to the orchestra pit to fire up the orchestra.
Okay.
Yeah, are they over there? Are they ready? Oh, there they are.
Soothing sounds.
You know, we get letters every week. And you tell us you like these letters. I don't know why. That's a strange phenomenon as far as this show goes. It really is.
Belly of the beast.
But we get the letters, and we pick a few of them each week to read to you. And I'm going to go ahead with what we got this week. They're fairly tame this week. You know the ones where they threaten to kill you and all that sort of thing? I don't read those anymore. They got kind of boring. First one starts out, Dear Jackass.
Oh, what? Nice.
You know, it's a new beginning because the writer recognizes the fact that I'm a Democrat.
There you go.
There you go.
What? Hey, nice point.
It's not the year of it's the Chinese year of the monkey. I think it's going to be the year of the donkey.
Let's hope so.
That's right. He goes on to say, give it up about your AWOL story. There was a guy on TV who said he saw George Bush in Alabama and even ate lunch with him. Like I was mentioning a few minutes ago, the only problem with that, my friend, is the fact the guy's dates didn't line up with the record. In fact, when he claimed he was there, Bush was still in Texas. Other than that,
it's true.
It was a pretty good story. He goes on to say, face it, you guys are out to get the president. Well, he's way too smart for you. Oh, my God. That's an insult. That is that might be the biggest insult that we've gotten on this program.
Yeah.
That Bush is too smart for us. Goes on to say, you'll never get him on anything. Well, that might be. You tried to stop the war, and he did it anyway. You tried to stop everything, and he has tried, but you failed. You tried to stop everything he has tried, and you failed. I'll tell you one thing, sport. No one has been able to stop him from making a total of ass of himself when he speaks in public. Really, I know of a couple of parrots over in my neighborhood who've got a bigger and more polished vocabulary than Junior Bush, but then I don't suppose it bothers you. Probably doesn't bother you that he asked the president of Brazil, and I quote, do you have any blacks in Brazil?
I know.
Can you imagine the entire world hearing that? The president of the United States asked the president of Brazil, do you have any blacks in Brazil? Oh, my God. We're going on to the note. That one's unsigned. Nothing there on that one. Next one is from Justin in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Las Vegas. He says, the letter you read from the soldier was a fake. There's not one of our men in Iraq who would say such things. If they did, they would be court-martialed and sent to prison. All of them I have seen have expressed the fact they're proud to be doing their duties and would do it all over again. Well,
or differently.
they are proud of being in the U.S. Armed Services. They should be. We are proud of them for being in the Armed Services. We're just not proud of what our government has made them do. That's my position on that. The next letter, Dear Mr. Liar. That's what you are, is a liar. I heard you claim that President Bush, you know, yada, yada.
Yeah.
President Bush had an affair with a government official during his father's term as president. Well, actually, I claim nothing of the sort. A guest of the show made that claim, and I might add that I've heard it several more times from Washington insiders. And he goes on to say, President Bush is an honest, decent, moral man, and he would never stoop to the level of Bill Clinton.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think, listen, pal, I think you really got it all wrong. Stooping isn't the issue. Wasn't it alleged that Bill Clinton was sitting down when he was with my... Never mind. I won't go there on that. He goes on to say, face it, funny boy, you just hate it when the Republicans control the entire government. Well, yep, you got me.
Yeah.
You got me on that one. I really do hate it.
Brilliant.
It's how they got it that really, really bothers me.
Galling.
Let's see. If you can ever shape up and start telling the truth, then maybe I'll listen again. Till then, I'll turn the dial. Well, you know, I know guys like you. You'll do no such thing, you twit. You love this show, so why not admit it? You're listening right now while sitting alone in your living room with the curtains pulled and a candle lit in front of a Bush portrait. Kind of like having a little altar there to worship him, you know. After all, he was chosen by God to lead us right now, and I got to tell you, pal, I really like Clinton's leadership during those 8 years, but if I would have had the mindless devotion to him that you have towards Bush and never admitted the error of some of Clinton's actions, I'd really be ashamed of myself.
I would, too.
Absolutely. That's from Franklin. Franklin, thanks for your letter.
I like Franklin.
Franklin, he's sitting there in his living room, and, you know, I don't know.
Mother, leave me alone. I'm listening to Guy James.
Yes. Mr. James. Now, here's a guy that evidently got his thesaurus out and was busy with it here. I find you crude, vulgar, disgusting, crass, uncouth, unrefined, boorish, uncultivated, inelegant, and tasteless.
Aww.
And besides that, you are totally crazy.
Nice. Nice.
That's from Marianne. Well, Marianne, I thank you for your support and your warm words, and I invite you to keep listening as well.
Once again, listeners.
Man. Yes. And that's it for Republican Love this week. We get letters, and we thank you for your cards and letters. Keep them coming.
They were good. I kind of missed the vitriol, though. I mean, the real nasty ones. They're fun.
I think some of those people that were writing those probably in prison now.
Or were institutionalized.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to go to Marlene in Kentucky. Marlene, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
I'll miss you.
Oh, I'll miss everyone else, too. I'll miss you, too.
Oh, boy. Well, it's been a rough week for me. I'm a Dean supporter.
You know, I got to be honest. I was never a big, you know, I was never joined the Dean campaign or anything. But, man, you guys put so much work into it. Man.
Well, I just want to let everybody know that's listening. Dean is on the ballot in all 50 states. So if you still think his message is the best one, vote for him in the primary, and then in November we can all fall in line.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I guess he would be, wouldn't he, on the ballots? So.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, it would be kind of ironic if he won one of the primaries.
Well, I think Edwards isn't even on the ballot.
Don't think as you know, Marlene, and as everybody knows, I've not backed any particular candidate. I've tried to remain very, very fair on this program, and I really doubt that any of the listeners do know who I favor in this campaign.
I don't know who you favor in this campaign.
I have never seen, maybe with the possible exception of Mike Dukakis, I've never seen the media do a number on a candidate like they did on Howard Dean.
No, they beat the hell out of him.
That, yeah, if you want to read a good article, Greider in the Nation of the March 8th issue. It's on the web already at the Nation website. Mm. It's Dean's Rough Ride.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they were so caught up in saying how angry he was. That's one of the reasons I was calling, because the hate meme that you said the Republicans are doing, you know, they're seeing what Dean was. He's angry, or, you know.
I've always said that if you're not angry by now, you're never going to get ticked off. I mean, come on.
Right.
Stolen election, invasions. I mean, who the heck, if you're not angry by now, you're not paying attention.
There was some good news this week here in Kentucky. We elected Ben Chandler here in the Kentucky 6th District, and that Kerr, she tried to, you know, she went to Washington and made that ad, and they made her pull it off where she was walking with President Bush in the garden there.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to say, well, Chandler hasn't said where he's stood on Iraq. Well, I don't think people are here happy with the Medicare either. She tried to say how she'll protect Medicare, and Chandler came, his ads were saying, we're going to import drugs from Canada and stuff like that. So he, you know, he outdid her a little bit.
Well, I think that election, in fact, I hope that election is a harbinger of things to come.
Yeah,
so do I. People are not happy. Where do you, those talking points, where do you get those from, Guy? Do you go to their website?
I have a secret.
Oh.
I can't divulge it, or I will lose my I will lose my access.
We have an insider. I hear it's Carl Rove.
Let us know on DU what the talking point is every week or something, because, you know, I noticed the last couple of weeks, I watch C-SPAN faithfully every morning, Washington Journal, and I've noticed those Republicans have been calling in and saying, oh, well, can't we get along? No, y'all should just support George Bush and 911, war on terror, blah, blah, blah. No, he's a good man. And, you know, I think what we should do, I don't hate Bush, but, you know, I'm sick of him blaming Clinton. 911 happened on his watch. I'm sick of hearing him use it as an excuse. I'll tell you what, that was on his watch. He was 9 months into the presidency. That's his fault, and he damn well better do something about it.
Well, it's amazing to me, if you watch what's going on right now, I'm utterly fascinated that we have half of America who is had the hell scared out of them. I mean, going back to that interview with Russert again, 70 times he mentioned danger, war.
Yeah.
70 times he mentioned it. So he's got the hell scared out of all the Republicans. And on the other side, you have the liberal, progressive, Democratic side, where people see the economy as the top issue. Now, how is it that half the population in the United States is scared to death about the bomb dropping on them every day, and the other half is worried about their jobs? How is it?
Liberal media.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's mind-boggling, and you know, this is the point, though, and it comes down to, like, you know, there's a lot of benefit to the Internet, and I agree there is, but, man, when you've got some guy that's sitting there in the kitchen of McDonald's and he has a radio tuned in, you know, that's how you get the people that aren't plugged in to know something about the facts, or at least get them intellectually curious as to if they're being lied to or not, so they can go to the public library and get online and find something. I mean, it's sad to me that so many people are left out of the loop because they don't have that access. And
or if he happens to be shopping in his local Walmart.
Or shopping in Walmart getting Fox breaking news. I mean, this is insane. Do you know they said something like they have 180 million captures a month or something because of Walmart story? It was a ridiculous number because they have a captive audience.
Well, you know what? And this is their idea of reaching out to the Middle East. They've, you know, Al Jazeera is a big problem. You know, they don't like that. So they start this TV channel, the free one, it's Al something or other, it means the free one, and they're trying to say, now of all the countries to ship out a media that's fair, that is about as much free media, you know, it's all propaganda, and they know it's all propaganda. I mean, geez, no wonder the Middle East is kicked off at us. It's insulting to a person's intelligence to hear all that crap. It's just ridiculous.
Hey, Marlene, thanks.
And we're paying $500 million a year for that TV station.
Well,
I know.
Hey, Marlene, thanks so much for your call. We do appreciate hearing from you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. We've got Julio in Fort Myers. Julio, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Glad to have you with us today.
Hey, man, when you said that the Bush regime is the most corrupt in United States history, I mean, man, I mean, you're understating it, I think. See, I mean, you guys do a lot of research. I would like to know how much money Halliburton made the 4 years before Bush became president as opposed to the 4 years after, since he became president, how much money they have made since he became president.
Oh, let's take it a step farther. Let's take it how much they made before Dick Cheney became
exactly.
the CEO.
Exactly.
And with his connections, they started turning a big profit right then. And, of course, Dick was involved in several very nasty deals overseas. And
they were selling stuff to Iraq when that was against UN sanctions.
And of course, he denied it.
And as far as, like, weapons of mass destruction and all the evidence and all the different garbage that these people speak, I knew before that the invasion that there were no weapons of mass destruction, and I went ahead and, you know, gave them the benefit of the doubt, and I figured we'd find out in a day or two whether they have weapons of mass destruction or not, and this is my reasoning, okay? I believe that if they had weapons of mass destruction, first of all, we wouldn't have invaded them because we wouldn't have put our soldiers in that type of danger.
You mean like North Korea?
That's why I, exactly, that's why I never believed that they had weapons to begin with. But you know what I'm saying? They are given the benefit of the doubt. We'll find out in a day or two. And my reasoning for that is because this is the most evil man in the world. He wants to destroy Americans. He's sitting on top of a stockpile of weapons of mass destruction. So I figure, you know, as a logical man, when we invade them, he's obviously going to use them because what the hell is he saving them for?
One would think so.
Because you know they're going to lose. I mean, everyone knew that when the United States military goes into almost any country in the world, especially one that's been devastated by 10 years of sanctions, they're going to lose.
Exactly.
So if you've got them, hell, use them.
Well, and Julio, you know, if you want to take it a step further, the even more ridiculous argument is that he moved them.
That was going to be my next point.
Yeah, so they say he moved them, and he knew he was going to get defeated, so he took all of his weapons that he might have used in this war and moved them. What the hell? Was he saving them for a rainy day after he's dead?
I guess.
That was going to be my next point. I mean, how stupid do you have to be to believe that this man, okay, facing absolute death or persecution when he gets caught by United States soldiers, that he's going to sit there and say, hey, you know what, let me call my buddy in Syria and, you know, maybe he can hold on to him for me just in case I might need them.
Yeah.
I mean,
in case the Americans let me go.
Yeah,
I'll go get him back.
In case Roy Black becomes my attorney and I get off on some technicality.
No, you know, now stop and all of our Republican listeners right now, will you stop and listen to what we're saying right here? Now, we're not giving you any propaganda here. This is the truth now.
It's logic. It's logic.
Yeah.
It's not me making up a story. I'm not quoting anybody.
Nope.
I mean, it's common freaking sense, okay?
You all know that they've floated that story about moving them, and you all know that they claim, well, they had them. Well, if they did, what kept him from using them? And if they moved them, why? Somebody answer that.
And this is my last point, okay? This is my last point. Okay, when I saw the Secretary of State, the Colin man, when he was up there in the United Nations, okay, and he showed pictures of the weapons of mass destruction, okay, satellite images, okay? Me, I'm the President of the United States, and national security is in my hands. Okay, so someone comes to me and shows me a picture of weapons of mass destruction, okay, held by one of our enemies. You know what I tell him? I tell him, listen to me. You sit down next to that computer and you keep your eyes on that monitor and you make sure those weapons don't move. Okay? And the second they move, you let me know.
I love this call.
Okay, but you're going to tell me, okay, that they have these pictures and now we don't know where they went when these people have the capability to follow me from my house, okay, to drive all the way to Miami through satellite images. Okay, me, just average Joe Schmo man, but for weapons of mass destruction, well, you know, we'll just take our eyes off of it for a second. They'll be there when we come back in 5 years or whatever, however long ago it was that they took
that
picture.
That just reminded me of something. We've had the ability and done several times over the, even in the Clinton years, firing off cruise missiles at stuff that we see.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't we blow them up when we saw them?
Yeah.
Because we've been bombing the hell out of them for 10 years.
Well, and here's another one. Think back to Gulf One. Do you remember that funny, I guess it was funny. People laughed. Do you remember that Norman Schwarzkopf watching that video of that guy standing on the bridge and saying, now here has to be the most unlucky guy in the world? Showed a picture of this guy getting nailed. I mean, he was actually walking across the bridge and got nailed by a missile. We have the capability to do that. And they're telling us they didn't know about these.
Let me just tell you guys one more thing. And it has to do with the whole National Guard thing and honorable discharge. A friend of mine, he joined up in the Army, right? After a few months, he figured out that he didn't want to do it anymore. So he just, you know, stopped performing. He stopped training. You know, his commanding officers got really tough on him and told him, look, you know, you have to keep on. They pushed him to try to keep on. Eventually, he figured, you know what, I'm just going to slack off. And they kicked him out. And you know what they gave him? They gave him an honorable discharge.
Sure. Sure.
Okay, that's a mind blower of the day.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've heard of cases like that, Julio. Thanks for your call, Julio. A great call.
Have a good day, man.
Julio makes too much sense when he calls.
It's frightening, you know. And this is the thing that most people don't understand is that, you know, you've got if you just look basically at everything that's happened over the last 2 years or 3 years and just lay them out, you draw a little map and just go, what did they say now and what did they say here and what did they now, look how it's changed. Any person, I think, would see it and go, hey, I've been lied to. It's mind-boggling.
All right, here's the deal, Mike. Let's offer amnesty. You and I, let's offer them amnesty. If up till now if up till now you've been caught up in the propaganda and the lies and so forth out of your loyalty to this president and so forth, why, that's okay. We'll give you a pass on it. We don't like it, but we'll give you a pass on it. But for God's sake, after you sit down and look at all the issues and everything that's been spelled out now, if you still think, after examining the actual facts, if you still think they didn't lie to you, you're an idiot. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it? It's really so sad. I don't even know where to go with that.
We've got a caller on the line, and let's visit with Kathy up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, up in that liberal area.
Elitist.
Another elitist Massachusetts liberal.
That's right. I'm damn proud of it.
Got a girl.
Hey, Michael. Sorry to hear you're leaving, but at least you're going to be with your honey.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And I'm going to miss you because you really add to the show. Guy has this really laid-back way about him, and you don't.
Okay. Come on. I'm a calm person.
But you have a lot of passion, and that's really good.
Thank you.
Really good. But I wanted to touch on two things. I almost fell off the elliptical at the gym today. I was watching CNN, and they had this guy on, Mark Simone, who I've never heard of, but I guess he's a Republican talk radio guy. And I've heard this over and over again on CNN and other TV programs that, you know, Bush inherited the recession. You guys touched on that earlier. And
The Clinton-Gore recession.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm, that one.
But, I mean, basically, this Republican talking point is contrary to everything that economic research shows that it began in March of 2001.
Certainly is, but that doesn't hold any water with the Republican talk show host.
That's right. Reality versus whatever they pull out of their butt.
They don't operate on reality.
No.
Well, no, they operate on the theory that if you repeat something enough times, it'll get into the press, and then other people will hear it one time, and they won't hear the rebuttal.
Yeah, I guess they went to the Joseph Goebbels School of Propaganda.
Well, they did. I mean, they've got what's that philosopher, Levi Strauss? That's the Levi Strauss Goebbels School of Mass Manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Levi Strauss?
That's his name, isn't it?
Something Levi. He had like a hyphened name, though.
No, not Levi. I'm sorry, it's not Levi.
It's Strauss.
Is it Heidegger? Not Heidegger.
Is it?
Yeah, Strauss, but it's not Levi.
It's not Levi. Oh, no, that would be my gene. I'm sorry.
It's Leo Strauss.
Leo, thank you. Okay, I'm a little thick today.
That's okay. The other thing I want to bring up is Nader entering the race, and I voted for Nader in 2000 because I have the luxury up here in Massachusetts knowing that, you know, Dems win every election, with the exception of the governorship, that, you know, I can vote green, I can vote third party.
Yeah, that's the thing. They call Massachusetts so liberal. You guys have had four Republican governors in a row.
But you know what? We've always had rhinos. And, I mean, like, Bill Weld was more liberal. The only Republican I ever voted for was Bill Weld because he was way more liberal on women's issues and on welfare and things like that than the Democrat running against him.
Why would somebody have to be a rhino in Massachusetts?
Money.
I mean, it's...
To come out of nowhere to win, perhaps.
I mean, this is Ted Kennedy, Kerry territory that they're pretty much unchallenged.
Yeah, and it's really funny because the whole gay marriage thing up here, it was really indicative of how many rhinos there are, because in the state legislature, a lot of the Republicans voted against any amendment saying that gay marriage should go forth. So it's just sort of, you wonder whether it's tradition in their families or whether it is partly the money machine. And I know Romney has his sights on the presidency eventually, and I can't stand the man. He's so conservative. I mean, I could put up with Salucci and I could put up with Swift, but Romney is cut from a different thread.
Romney going to claim he's a Massachusetts resident or a Utah resident when he runs for the president?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. He's as we say, if you didn't come over on the Mayflower or on the potato boat, you're a blow-in.
That's about like Cheney running saying he's from Wyoming. Come on.
Yeah.
He actually lived in Dallas, I believe it was.
Well, actually, it's like when Bush said he went to that middle school in Texas, Midland something middle school, right after that going to Andover.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm a normal guy. I went to a middle school in Texas.
All right. To be perfectly, he is a Texan, although he was born in Connecticut. He went to grammar school. He spent his formative years in Texas. And then, like, every rich kid from, like, a prominent family like the Bushes went to either Andover or Exeter or Harvard or Yale or
whatever.
Kathy,
he's never finished his formative years.
That's a good one.
he's still swirling around there. You would not prove to me he's formed yet.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I actually wanted to get to, I'm kind of all over the place today, is Supreme Court justices and how important it is for a Democrat to take the White House this time. I'm really afraid, you know, 4 more years of Bush, we'll see Sandra Day O'Connor retire, Rehnquist retire, and I know Ruth Bader Ginsburg had fought cancer, I believe.
I'm surprised none of them have retired during this administration so that they could fill them with Republicans. I'm really surprised at that.
I'm surprised that they haven't just added 4 more seats to the Supreme Court, because there's nothing saying how many you can have, and just put all conservatives in anyway and just sway the damn thing for the next 50 years.
Well, our guy Franklin Roosevelt tried that.
I know he tried to do it, and he couldn't, so let's hopefully, you know, Bush won't be
there. My wife Bess and I were standing in the old... have you ever been to the Capitol building and stood in the old Supreme Court chamber?
A long, long time ago.
The Supreme Court used to be in the basement, kind of like of the Capitol building, and it's one of the most beautiful rooms in the entire Capitol. But we were talking about that when we were down there, how Franklin tried real hard to pack the court, but he didn't get away with it, as he should not have.
But I have a feeling, you know, the way things are going, Bush could get away with something like that. And if he sees, do you think that during an election year, if he sees, say, by July that he's losing, that he will, like, start appointing all these...
Well, you're right. The only saving grace of that is he can't appoint one of them in a recess appointment. They actually have to go through, you know, like Pryor's appointment recently here to the federal bench.
No, you're right.
That's
horrible.
So he actually have to go through the process, and I'm sure the Dems will give him a bunch of trouble on that.
Well, let's hope they do.
I would hope so. If they don't...
You know, I can't stand Terry McAuliffe, but I saw him. I spend a lot of time in the gym because I'm unemployed, and I watch the show. I'm one of the great unemployed numbers in this country.
Then you're not elite, then.
Elitist is just a code word for Yankee. I can't stand that.
Well, I mean, a true elitist wouldn't have to work, in my opinion.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay.
But Terry McAuliffe seems to have grown some cojones, let's say. He seems like, you know, he's not backing down from the AWOL thing, which I thought was great.
I was surprised.
Yeah, but, you know, I got to be honest with you. They've had several years. I'm sorry. I've just lost all respect for most of the leadership up there.
That's why I vote third party in Green a lot. It's like they're all just big money.
And I got to be honest, a lot of people knock somebody because they voted for Nader or something. But the fact of the matter is, this is supposed to be a democracy, and everyone has the right to run. You know, and if people want to start a party, they've got a right to do it. We, of course, stack the deck against them. But, you know,
if Nader runs this time, I'm going to have a talk with him.
Well, yeah. Instant runoff voting would solve all of this.
You know, Nader got more votes in Cambridge than Bush did.
Well, that bunch of commies up there, of course he did.
Yeah, elitist liberal capital of the world.
That's right. You know, we're all up here drinking our lattes, you know, and hanging out in cafes.
We know that. Kathy, thanks so much for your call.
Bye.
We do appreciate it. Great call. Love hearing from those elitist liberals up there.
You know, somebody on Democratic Underground had a little post that they mentioned the old Huey Long quote of wrapped in the American flag. When fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the American flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guess who our Father Coughlin is? That would be Rush, yeah? Yeah? Okay.
Well hey, we're
going to... It can't happen here, can it?
No.
No.
No, Kurt, not.
We're America.
I can tell you a big story about Huey Long. I never met the man. Of course, he's dead before I was...
yes, he
I don't know
been.
Whether since before I was born.
It would have been, I think, before you were born.
But down in Louisiana, they got this real unusual state capitol building. Very unusual.
Never
it's kind
seen
of like
it.
A skyscraper.
Really?
Yeah, it's really different. And it's in Baton Rouge. And I went down to Baton Rouge one time for this football game. I'm an OSU fan, and we played the LSU down in Baton Rouge. So I went down there, and I stayed in the hotel right across the street from the State Capitol building, and I had to go over and see the big statue of Huey Long there. You know, Huey's still a hero. And
hey, brought running water and roads to rural Louisiana.
He's the man. He's still the man down there in the parishes of Louisiana. So I go to this hotel, and it's right across the street. And we're having a big bash after the before the game, and having our alumni get together and all that sort of thing. And we had a joint pep rally along with LSU. They were doing their bit, and we were doing our bit, and we were in the same big hall together, and it was a lot of fun. And as is the tradition, somebody always gets up and sings the alma mater for the school. And I had done that on many occasions. So I got up and I sang Carmen, Ohio, which is our beautiful anthem for OSU. And after it was all over with, this guy came up to me and said, hey, son, we got this little fundraiser going on tonight down here, and it's we'd be much obliged if you would come and sing to us tonight at this fundraiser.
Really?
Yeah, they wanted me to sing Dixie.
Nice.
And they wanted me to sing it like Elvis sang it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And so it was it was $100 a plate, which at that time was a lot of money.
Yeah, I would imagine.
$100 a plate dinner for a real political scoundrel, Edwin Edwards, the the Democratic governor of Louisiana. And I got to tell you, those boys kept up the tradition of Huey Long in the best way. I think Edwards is in prison right now, but he made me an official colonel of the state of Louisiana.
Really?
I am to this day an official colonel of the state of Louisiana by Governor Edward Edwards. Never mind that he's doing time right now.
You know, they always try to take down the radicals there. They press charges. They file charges.
I don't know what that story was worth, but I told it anyway. Anyway, we're going to pause for a break right now, and we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to the Guy James Show on 1200 WPTK Power Talk 1200 here in Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back.
The Guy James Show.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow.
Our magnificent trees have helped shape the American spirit. Trees that clear the air, clean the water, and protect the land. Thick forests of spruce and pine, birch trees, aspen, and apples.
Taste the breeze, it's life inside you. Make a promise to the earth.
One tree has been selected by the people to represent all of America's trees. The oak, America's national tree. The oak symbolizes our nation's strength and our future. To learn more about America's great oaks, go to the Arbor Day Foundation website, arborday.org. See which oaks or other trees from America's abundant choices are right for planting where you live. Discover the oak, America's national tree.
Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
That's arborday.org.
His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years, not such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, nearly half for unknown reasons. Please support March of Dimes research. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, Guy James, official colonel of the state of Louisiana, back with you.
All hail the chief.
Didn't you love that story?
That's a great story.
Yeah.
I've never had anything quite like that happen to me.
Well, you know, it was funny. I got up the next morning, and they gave me this plaque and this little card to carry. I still got the card.
Way cool.
And they told me when they gave me this card, said if there's anything you need while you're here, you show this card. So I got up the next morning, and they sent me breakfast in bed. I didn't know it wasn't in bed, but they sent me a steak and eggs to my hotel room. And I got in my car and started to drive down to the stadium, which is about maybe, I don't know, 7-8 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic, terrible. Baton Rouge is downtown Baton Rouge.
Really?
It's impossible. I started driving down there. I couldn't go anywhere. It was gridlock, people going to this football game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, what the hell? I got this card out, and I saw Louisiana State Patrolman sitting there. I got this card out, and I said, I was told to, if I needed anything, to show this card. He looked at that card, and he said, yes, sir, follow me.
Wow.
So he gets in his car and turns on his little light, and I followed him all the way to the stadium. And he pulls me right up beside the stadium, right in the LSU alumni parking section, and here I am in a scarlet and gray van, parking into the yellow and purple at Baton Rouge section. And when I parked there and got out of my van, this judge from Baton Rouge come up and says, "Boy," he says, I don't mean to be nosy, but just what the hell did a Yankee have to do to get to park here?" And we formed a friendship that lasted for several years over that. But that's my Baton Rouge. And I want to tell you, as a college football fan, there's no place more fun to go for a college football game.
I've heard that from a lot of people, never myself.
They're crazy down there. They don't sit down the entire game. And when the visiting team comes up in their bus, they've got these, they had at that time anyway, two tigers in cages, and they put them right by the locker room of the visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guys getting off the bus from the visiting team had to walk between those two tigers, and they're the whole thing. It was pretty intimidating. They'd have a crowd of about 10,000 people standing out there screaming at the visitors. It's pretty neat. It really
big
was.
Big tigers, yes.
I won't bore you with any
fun
more football
stuff.
But it is fun down there. If you ever get a chance to go to Baton Rouge for a football game, don't pass it
definitely
up. We're going to go to Robert in Naples right now. Robert, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. I'm a Republican, have been for my life, and I've been listening to first time I caught your show. I was driving, now I got home, figured to give you guys a call. I'm just confused as a Republican. I'm hearing a lot from both sides. I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not a Kool-Aid drinking Republican, nor am I a tree hugging liberal on either side. I try and evaluate every candidate's position and then make decisions after that, but I have been registered Republican, and I've been voting continually as a Republican. Find more in line with my personal beliefs, more on the Republican side. What I hear from you guys, this is the first time I heard of both of you, is that there's a lot of vitriol. I mean, you guys are just being angered, and you're accusing the other side of doing the same thing that you guys are doing. And I heard, just like 3 points of the guys that I heard on the radio driving up here. This is an older gentleman that called up something about saying that that his father told him never to be a parasite. And in the same breath, he's expecting us, the people, to pay for his prescription drugs. He's expecting his Social Security. And this old guy probably has his house fully paid for. He's expecting my grandkids, my children, to pay for his prescriptions. Now, the other one was another guy calling about leaving alone. Then he proceeded, if it doesn't affect him.
So let me ask you a question before you get going.
Sure,
here. So you think anybody that can't afford their prescription medicine and has to turn to the government agencies for help with it, you think they're a parasite?
No. I think that to speak about not being parasitic in one breath, and the other side to expect something from someone, to me is just contradiction.
Well, then you're saying that the person's a parasite for taking help with their.
No, I don't put words.
It wouldn't be a contradiction if you don't think so.
No, the man, that was a man's word. I'm just saying, to me, it's a contradiction. If that's what he's calling those people that that shouldn't be taking something from someone, and he in return, wants something, isn't that the same thing? You know, I'm not saying he's a parasite. I certainly believe that we need to have community, that people should take care of each other. But I don't believe the government is a place to do that.
Where is?
Community.
And what if the community doesn't do it?
Well, that's personal responsibility. I mean, if the gentleman on the call was having a problem with his prescription drugs, and perhaps he could take a mortgage on his house. I've had medical bills I've incurred. I retired early. I sort of got hit by the dot-com the fall of a dot-com company, and I lost a lot of money. But I haven't asked for a dole. I haven't asked for anybody. I take care of myself. That's personal responsibility. And when you're talking about someone who's particularly in this area, Naples and Fort Myers, where the median income is probably higher than most parts of the country, for people to be sitting there saying they want something from somebody on one side, and then the other side saying that Republicans are evil for taking away drug prescriptions, having Social Security. I'm against all of that. I don't believe in Social Security. I don't believe in prescription drugs.
So you don't get a Social Security check then?
No.
Are you old enough to get one?
I don't pay into the system. No, so I won't get one.
Oh, So you didn't pay into the system?
No.
Well, it's easy not to believe in Social Security if you don't pay into the system and not part of it.
Well,
don't you think?
Well,
if you're fortunate enough to be part of the, like the railroad workers, or I take it you're not a union man either.
No.
So if you're part of like retired teachers or somebody like that that doesn't have to depend on Social Security.
How I made my money other ways. I didn't pay into the system. Let's just put it that way. I'm not a railroad worker. I didn't, and I'm not a thief. You know. I was an entrepreneur, had a business, and just didn't pay into the system.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean,
So you don't think anybody? So you think everybody that has to they can't afford their medicine, that's wrong.
No, my parents, my mother, and my father, each of which my mother's 88, my father's 90.
Mm-hmm.
Our family has come together and helped them out. Now, they collect Social Security, but we've come together and helped them out.
Well, why don't you tell them not to accept that Social Security anymore?
That was a personal choice. I'm saying my father paid into the system.
Yeah, but if you're his son, you should advise him not to take it if you don't believe in it.
Listen to what I'm saying, because you're putting words in my mouth.
No, I'm not.
Let me explain that. If you're perceiving that to be what I said, if I don't pay into the system, I don't expect anything from it. Now, those folks that have, they should. They're entitled to it. Okay, I believe, like that gentleman that I mentioned, if he is getting Social Security, or my parents for that matter, if they're getting Social Security, which they are, then they're entitled to it. Because that's an obligation that we as a society or the country have already made.
Well, yeah, but if you're someone who doesn't believe in an entitlement like that and all, if your father's, you say he's 88?
No, 90.
So he's been retired for 25 years. Has he been drawing Social Security for 25 years?
It doesn't mean I agree with it. I don't agree with abortion.
No, but if he's been drawing Social Security for 25 years, then he's got way more than his share.
The problem, well, most likely he has. But that's not the point I'm making. I'm making is that do not say two things at the same time. What I'm saying is that I don't believe in it. I personally, Robert, does not believe in it. So therefore, I don't expect anything from it.
Well, good. I'm glad you've been fortunate enough that you don't have to, that you can buy all your medicine, and so that's good. I'm happy for you.
I'm not.
Well,
the point is that we need to be, if we're talking about personal responsibility, then let's just say it all the time that's the way it is. And don't say at one breath, like I said, this gentleman said, is that he wants somebody to cover his prescription drugs. I'm saying I don't believe in the system, and I don't expect anything from it. But each of us have our own choices to make. That's all I'm saying. If you can talk about personal responsibility, then don't say you're personally responsible, and the other side of it say that you know, you're expecting something from someone.
Okay, Robert. Thank you for your call. I don't know. There's that word. I think Republicans invented that, personal responsibility, right? They're the ones that start throwing it around
because
a lot.
Bush is personally responsible, right?
Yeah, I've heard him take responsibility
for nothing.
For zip.
For nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, start at the top with that.
I don't know. You know what I heard from last call, really, was just me.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay into the system. Well, you know what? You probably broke some laws.
Well, arguing with a guy like that, and he won't like this, but arguing with a guy like that is kind of like trying to capture a pig out in the mud,
mm-hmm.
and you start wrestling that pig in the mud, and sooner or later you figure out that the pig likes it.
Somehow I have a feeling Ayn Rand plays a part in this, but that's just my opinion.
Now, that's fine if you don't want to believe in any of the programs, Social Security and Medicare and all that. If you're one that can get by without it, fine. But I know as sure as I'm sitting here that there's a lot of people out there right now complaining, a lot of my Republican friends complaining about Social Security, complaining about Medicare, probably don't need the help from either one of them, and yet they take that check every month.
Of course.
Because I paid into it.
Well, you know, a lot of...
What's mine is mine.
A lot of Naples and this part of Florida has a lot of people that were former union members. They had good benefits, and they managed to wrestle out some good benefits and health care and retirement plans. Then they come here, and they collect their checks and tell everybody else to go to hell. Me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they can go to hell as far as I'm
concerned.
Yeah,
that's me is exactly right. Michael, I'd like to spend this last 4 minutes or so. We got 3.5 minutes till the end of the program. I'd like to ask you some questions.
Sure.
I haven't gotten to do that on the air while we've been here. First of all, since you came to this program just about a year ago, what have you learned about the system and about what goes on in the media and so forth that really you hate the most?
Well, you know,
I hate to put you on the spot.
You know, I'll be honest. I mean, I don't believe in the whole liberal media myth is gone for me. I believe there are lies too. I believe that there was for a certain amount of time, and I also know that I've learned that getting a show on the air has more to do with just the entertainment value, and I think that's an obvious thing. And the fact of the matter is, money begets power, and so on and so forth. And the fact of the matter is, once again, even if a station wanted to put you on drive time, if they've got a Republican owner, they got a conservative owner, they don't want to piss off their other advertisers, they won't put you on the air, regardless of whether people want to hear it or not, and regardless of whether they want to be equitable or not in their delivery of the news. So, you know, hey, I've lost a lot of faith in the system.
Okay. That's...
And that's just my opinion.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion. I value your opinion. That's why I ask you that question.
No, thank you.
I wouldn't know why I thought. What have you learned about the radio business in general that you like or don't like? Leave the politics out of it.
Hey, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, I'll be honest. I mean, getting to sit behind a microphone and talk to thousands upon thousands of people and have different people of different, you know, call in and give their opinions, it's great. I love it.
Has your skin gotten any thicker?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, this has opened me up to people I didn't know even really existed. You know, the kind of just absolute hatred for anything that isn't them or their religion or their politics and the fact that they actually want to destroy us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Has any of that ever bothered you, the threats and so forth? Any of that ever really?
No. All it's done is I am now a pro-gun liberal.
Yeah.
And I think that if we're smart, we'll all take advantage of that Second Amendment.
Yeah. I've had that recommended to me this week, as a matter of fact, by one of my good friends. Thinks I ought to get a gun permit and carry a gun. I resist.
Straight. I mean, if they want to play social Darwinism, I can play that game too.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lose. And,
no.
And that's all I have to say. On that.
I resist that, and that's you know, I hear these people talk about the gun grabbing liberals. You know, I don't give a damn if anybody's got a gun. Oh, I don't want to see them out there with a automatic rifle with 50.
I'm looking for one. I'll just say that I appreciate the opportunity to come down here and when I first started, and you know, I appreciate your letting me sit on, you know, in on the show, and I appreciate, of course, all the callers and you know, and everybody involved in it, and it's really been a real special experience.
Well, and the pay's been so good.
Yeah, I've bought a brand new Dodge Dart.
Yeah. 68 or 69.
Rusted out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the benefits as well.
The benefits are beautiful, yes.
1 minute to go until the end of the program. I do want to thank you, Michael, for being on the program this time. I look forward to nothing but great things from you and your dear bride, Stephanie, and we're going to follow your progress up to where you're moving to. I'm not going to tell them where you're moving.
Thank you so much.
Not going to give them any heads up. They're going to have to hunt you down. That's fair.
They're going to have to play the game from the, yeah, no hints.
Yeah. But he is moving away from here, and we are going to miss him tremendously. You've added a depth to the program that's been much, much appreciated. You've added a lot of knowledge to the program. You've added a dimension to the program that we didn't have, and we are terribly going to miss you.
Thank you so much, and I'm going to miss you too.
Thanks so much for being on the program. Well, folks, we've come down to another the end of another program, and it is that we bid a fond farewell to Michael. And, you know, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Good night.
Thank you.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
It's the domain of legends. Men capable of causing a whole country to hold its breath while waiting for that. One smooth motion of a wrist and an entire nation strains its eyes, each one urging that little white ball on until it's going, going, gone. Now imagine these living myths These faces in which you know every line, every wrinkle as sure as you can list their average from last year. And now they're all turned to you, expectant.
This bat's yours, right?
Yeah, kid, that's the one.
To a child with a life-threatening illness, being a bat boy for his favorite team wasn't the end of all his youthful hopes. It was the beginning.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest.